The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, we have to hear about this little adventure that Kathy's family has been going through the past couple of days.
Yeah, not so fun the past couple of days.
Yeah, man, you really scared us with that text the other night.
Well, we were really scared. So,
I'm a man.
So it's been a little crazy, but on Monday, my brother called me, and I was in the middle of doing something and saw that he called. I missed the call, and I said, I'll call him back in a little bit, and then I see a text come in from my mom, and that's never good when it's back-to-back. So I called my brother, and he said, I'm on my way over to dad's house. He called, he was painting and he fell. He thinks he broke his leg. So I'm like, oh my gosh, oh no, you know? And so I said, well, are you calling 911? He said, no, he said he's fine. Don't call 911. I'm going to go check it out. But it was right around rush hour. So my parents live in East Norriton. So it was a little, it takes a little bit of time to get there down Germantown. So he called again. He said he didn't sound good on the phone. So I'm going to call again. I'm going to check on him. Called again. Are you sure you're okay? Are you sure I don't need to call 911? He said, no, I don't need to call 911. I just need you to get here. So, okay. My brother Jim says, I'm on my way. And so he said he got there and he thought, my dad was going to be sitting somewhere waiting for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it feels kind of weird. I think I kind of broke it. What does he come into?
Yeah, so he comes and he sees the front door is partially opened and my dad's hand is hanging out the door and he's using the doorknob to lift his weight up to take the pressure off of his leg.
Uh-huh.
So my dad fell 16 feet from an extension ladder and essentially snapped his femur bone in half.
Snapped it clean.
One of the biggest bones in your body.
Yeah.
And Kathy showed us the x-ray. Just the x-ray is hard to look at.
Well,
because it is completely cut in half, separated, and off angle.
It looks like it's about a foot and a half separation.
Oh my
it looks
God.
Like it's someone else's leg.
So my brother gets there and he goes, and so my dad said that his left leg was literally pointed in. Like it was facing the wrong way. And he goes, I think I popped it back into place. So my dad tried to straighten his own leg out.
Oh, God.
And he goes, you just need to lift me up and get me in the car. And my brother said he's looking at his leg and, he still has his jeans on and it's swollen. And he's like, I cannot move. First of all, it's going to be difficult for me to pick you up anyway, but to move you, you're going to be in so much pain. And fortunately, my brother called 911. The ambulance came out.
He didn't think that was ambulance worthy.
Yeah, didn't your dad say, no, call the hospital?
He goes, no, don't call an ambulance. Because, he's always worried about money and the bills. And he said, don't call the hospital, or don't call the ambulance, call the hospital. My brother goes, that's the ambulance.
No, Kathy.
thanks for calling.
Yeah.
We're going to come pick you up. I don't know. Maybe we'll use an ambulance.
Yeah. Hey, Kathy, how was the rest of his appearance while all this was going on? Like, was he banged up anywhere else besides his leg?
No. So, of course, when they took him to the hospital, it took him four EMTs to lift my dad up and
put him tiny
onto the stretcher. But, he's
they didn't want to move him.
They didn't want to move him. And he said that was like the worst. I mean, obviously, snapping his leg was pretty painful, but when they moved him.
Oh.
So my brother's like, thank God I called 911. I could have never done that and got him in the car without
Could you imagine? One guy carrying, especially with no support for the leg?
Yeah, when you first texted, and you were very vague with the details, because I'm sure you were frantic, I was like, I thought maybe he hit his head. And,
yes.
And that's why I'm like, did he hit his head? And thankfully, he came back
with that
it was his leg.
Yeah, they obviously did, MRI and CAT scan, and they all the scans came back that, there was nothing wrong with the head and neck. And before they go into surgery, they have to check everything else, they said, from a fall, because sometimes, obviously you have the main issue or the issue that's, most visible, which was the leg. But sometimes they don't want to rush into surgery because there's other things that could be happening.
Well, sure, they have to check everything, yeah.
Yeah, fortunately, it was just that. So he had some other scrapes and bruises, along his legs and stuff like that, but
how did his pap smear come back?
Nothing else.
So my my friend, I didn't go to the 50th reunion. I went to a wedding.
Yes, yeah.
And the wedding that we went to, George, the groom, just a few weeks back, he fell off a ladder as well and broke his tibia and fibula. So that's the lower part of your leg. And the same thing snapped, Kathy, and it was off to the side.
Yeah.
And it was sticking out of the leg and everything.
Yeah.
And
it was the compound. Bone cut through the leg?
That's what I was told. Yeah. And so, and this was just, I
getting ready to be married in like a month.
And it happened.
Yeah, so my dad's bone didn't cut through his leg, fortunately. And when we got to the ER, the doctor said, well, he looked at it and they did the x-ray and everything. He said, well, you did part of my job by trying to basically realign your leg because that's what they did.
How was it? So did he did a fairly decent job
I mean, God, he probably shouldn't have done it, but the doctor, right. We ended up talking to the ER doctor, by the way, who was Dr. Rothman at Paoli Hospital, was amazing. He was the ER doctor, and he was, you know, very helpful. But he said he pretty much did part of the job, and then they had to they gave him propofol because they had to kind of knock him out to realign it.
Yeah, swear by it.
And it stayed in this like contraption for the night, and then they had to kind of move it into a different contraption until he went into surgery, which was yesterday. He had to have a rod and screws put in.
Now, was he fighting the notion of surgery as well?
Oh, yeah. So he was like, we walked in, so because he was back with the doctors, you know, by himself for a little while. And we walked in, and he was like, I don't want to have surgery. I'm not going to have surgery. And,
dude, you have to.
Well, they said my dad is very active, and
he's in good shape.
He's in great shape, and they actually said the surgery. Surgeon, who also I want to give him say his name. It's Dr. Garino. He's the orthopedic surgeon at Paoli. He was also amazing and also listens to the show.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. So
I hope he likes it.
He said, you know, because of my dad's health and what great shape my dad was in, that helped with the surgery, and that he is going to be able to recover. My dad bikes all the time, and he said, you know, you'll be able to get back on the bike if you have the surgery. If you don't, you're going to end up walking with a cane for the rest of your life.
This is no decision.
What is it? Is it called a compound fracture when it completely breaks in half like that? And then a complex compound fracture is when it exits the skin, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
I had always heard compound was out of the skin, but I've never heard.
And that happened to my friend who is actually a surgeon now, but he was playing soccer, went up for a head ball, collided with a guy, came down, went to brace his fall, arm came popping out of his. It was a scary, scary moment. I was there.
I mean, usually that stuff is supposed to stay inside.
Yeah.
And when it comes out,
yeah.
It frightens you.
When you climb up a ladder,
yes.
Are you extra super careful?
No.
I am.
You're not?
I am very
down.
Are you not?
I try to be, but then there are some times I'm like, whether it's hanging up lights in a Christmas, or, you know, in the tree out in the front yard, I'm like, I kind of shake the thing and I'm like, yeah, that'll hold. Oh. And I'm like, dumbass, what are you doing?
No, in that case, I've done that. Yeah. But I'm very careful of foot placement.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I don't just go, like my brother-in-law is a contractor. Goes running around. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah, climbing up, I think, is easy and not that bad. It's the climbing down that, you know, gets me a little bit skittish.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
You know, and the problem, and I didn't have much of this conversation with my dad because I felt bad. The leg is broken. This is it. You have to have surgery. There's nothing we can do. We can't go back and fix it. But of course, there are things where you look back and you're like, why did you do that? I mean, my mom and I literally had the conversation the night before. He should not be climbing up there to do this. My dad's 74 years old, and he's still super active. But, Preston, it was an extension ladder.
Okay.
So it slid out from underneath him.
Oh, okay, so he was painting. He was painting, right?
He was painting,
and he was painting it, as you walk into the front door, you have
a 16-foot ceiling, okay. So he was painting
when
that hallway.
You don't paint on one of those. You get a ladder that is a freestanding ladder.
You know,
those
you hire somebody, they bring scaffolding in. Like, that's how you're supposed to paint.
What I won't do is go up on a ladder if nobody else is around. That's the one. Uh-oh, what, you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a moron. 12 years ago, I fell off, I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked about it on air. I went up to clean the gutters out, and I waited until my wife at the time and son weren't there, like an idiot. I didn't have anybody spotting the ladder. And
can you guys leave? I want to make sure there's no one around in case there's an accident.
Seriously, what an idiot.
Yeah.
And but getting up was not the problem. It was getting off of the roof onto the ladder, and then I kicked the ladder out from underneath and then fell down onto the brick patio.
Nick, that's a Clark Griswold moment.
I'm sure it looked hilarious. And honestly, like, once I realized that I hadn't broken anything, that I was just banged up and scraped up a little bit, I laughed at myself, but I was in a ton of pain when it happened. It was just being stupid.
Marissa's got a story.
Yeah, I...
You were on the top of a step stool.
It was so scary when it fell close. I have 10-foot ceilings in my apartment, and of course I don't have room for a ladder, so I don't have one. So I took a chair, and then when I couldn't sit on the chair, I put a step stool on the chair.
And then I still couldn't put it. So I think my brother came over and, like, I may have even gotten on his shoulders. And then we were on the step stool on his shoulders getting to this this light bulb to change in the ceiling.
You see less risky acts on America's Got Talent.
So, don't they have light bulb changers that you can put on a,
stick,
right?
Yeah. Well, because I have to take off a glass covering and then put the light bulb in and then put the light the
terrible
glass
design.
Back on top. So it burned out. It's been out for about 8 months now.
Yeah.
This is a good point. And let me say this. So since we moved into this house that we're in, we've been there for now a year and a couple months. In the old house, we had just one, like, step stool that we had to use. And I was always doing the precarious, you know, up on your tippy toes on the top of it. Get a couple ladders.
Exactly.
You will use them eventually. Yeah. And if you have it right there, it'll stop you from doing the, I'll just do this.
We have a step stool, and the Michelle finally got, like, a 5 foot tall.
Exactly.
Super step stool.
You're going to use it a lot.
Which we end up using a lot. And then we have the big ladder,
yes,
which is in sections. But yeah, you're right. You need a couple different versions, Maris.
But they're so ugly. Can they start creating some really cute step stools?
That's going to be the big boon in the hardware industry is super cute ladders.
Have you not been to HomeGoods?
Super cute ladders.
Not tall ones. So I have all of my shoe boxes in my closet. Kathy's seen it.
Yeah.
And I literally am on my tippy toes on my one kind of cute step stool that I can't reach anything
from. Yes, I just fell 31 feet off my cute ladder.
Steve got a brand new miter saw. He might be able to make you a cute little...
I actually can. Yeah. Yes, I have a miter saw. I'm pretty good at it, too.
Gotta make it cute, though.
I'll make it cute. I'll put a little decoupage on it.
All right. Thank you.
The problem with the step stool industry is that they're not enough cute ones.
Right. Let me go.
Should I need a bear? Now, you need to understand, it needs to be very cute.
Katie wants to clarify the types of fractures for you, Casey. She's an x-ray tech. Hi, Katie.
Oh, cool.
Good morning.
Guys, sorry to bother you at work.
Okay. All right, Katie. So you're an x-ray tech. You can clear all this up.
Absolutely. So an open fracture is when it comes through the skin. That makes it open. Compound is almost like, picture like a stick, and if you like squish it top to bottom and it kind of snaps in the middle and like compounds on itself, that's what it would be. No, those open fractures are pretty gnarly, and that's what you were saying. The guy you were playing soccer with, that's pretty nasty.
So to clarify again on the compound, if you were to take the two bones and crush them together, they start to mash out and blister?
Splinter, I should say? You could do like your femur, like your like one bone can compound upon itself.
Yeah, well, you do get, as Preston says, we're looking at it right now.
Take it off the screen. I can't even look at x-rays.
I want to be clear about something. I wasn't playing soccer. That's exercise. I was watching my friend play soccer.
Thank you, Katie. All right, we'll see you later. I guess, you know, in the medical industry, you've got to become desensitized to this stuff.
Oh, well, so when the doctor came out he came out with a big smile on his face, so the surgery went well, but he explained to us
what he
did. I mean, I thought I was going to pass out again, and my mom was like, you got to watch with her. He's like, I know. I mean, he explained, he had to make a third incision because he had to get his hand in there to twist the bone back into place.
Wow. Yep.
I was like, God. Stop!
Holy crap!
Yeah, I mean, it was, so my dad's bone, it snapped in half, but it shifted, so it was no longer aligned. It was like in a whole different place.
Did they tell him though? And they've told this to a lot of people who go through a similar injury, that his Charleston game will be dramatically improved now.
Marissa, did your friend break her femur? She got hit by a taxi cab, right? And then, or was it her hip that she broke?
She broke her femur, and then she has now screws in her hip.
Right. Well, was she? Yeah.
Yeah, but she got
the cab broke it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but she was painting in the middle of the street.
I'm going to go to Anthony, an occupational therapist. Hi, Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gents. How are we today?
We're doing pretty good. So you've seen a lot of this type of injury, then, huh?
Yes, I actually work in one of the Penn Medicine hospitals, and I see the patients. I've actually seen patients before they've gone into surgery, and they're usually nice and drugged up, and they have sometimes no recollection of, you know, the first day or two in the hospital. But I deal with everything. And Kathy, I'm curious, what's your father's weight bearing status? Is he weight bearing? Is tolerated? Is he partial weight bearing? Is he toe touch? Is he non weight bearing?
You mean after the surgery?
Now.
Yeah.
He just had it. So he came, we didn't see him until like yesterday evening. And he had the anesthesia hadn't completely wore off for them to take him out of the bed yet. So I'm not sure how he is this morning.
Okay. All right. So just giving you some insight. I mean, if he's weight bearing is tolerated, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I'm not going to lie about that. They're going to have pain management come in there to help you guys, you know, figure out how much he can tolerate. And if that's the case, you know, if he's, as you're saying, a really good, in good shape, healthy guy, he can be up and running really quickly, and he could be home realistically in 2 to 3 weeks. He's probably going to need some rehab, but if he's partial weight bearing or non weight bearing, he's going to.
I'm a little confused about the partial and full. Yeah. What is this delineation referring to?
So the delineation with this is, if it's weight-bearing, it's tolerated. You can put all your weight through it, and as long as you can tolerate the pain, you can do whatever.
Okay.
If it's partial weight-bearing or non-weight-bearing, non-weight-bearing is you can't put any weight on that because your bone is still sensitive and it needs time to heal, whether they put a steel rod in there, they did metal wiring for all that to heal.
Yeah.
If it's partial weight-bearing, that basically is you can put some weight on your toe, basically, and you can, you know, get up out of bed, hop to a, you know, not hop to a chair, but just balance yourself enough to get to a chair, get to a bedside commode, stuff like that. And yes, we are very desensitized to all this. And I can tell you right now, as occupational therapy, we work on the bathing, dressing, and toileting aspect, and getting in and out of bed is a key thing.
Yeah.
And trust me, I see a lot of bare asses, and I wipe a lot of asses.
I'm sure. And then you go to work.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm on my way to work now. Right. It's a beautiful thing right now. So, but, you know,
So you're saying, Kathy, your doctor said he might be out of the hospital much sooner than that, right?
Yeah, so they have to feel safe that he can, you know, leave and go home and
use the commode.
Oh, God. So he's expected to leave in a couple of days.
Okay.
All right.
So ideally, Kathy, just giving you a heads up, they may suggest he go to inpatient rehab for a week or two.
Make sure it's the right rehab, not like an Alcoholics Anonymous or something.
Get Dr. Mike involved in this. Trust me. I'm surprised he hasn't called in this.
I bet you he's on it like white on rice. Yeah.
Trust right, me, thanks, my dad's Anthony. Not going to a rehab.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
He wanted to go home last night.
Listen, I almost texted you immediately, but I thought it was too soon. I was going to be like, that's my drinking buddy. He's got to be all right.
He's fine.
He can't be. No.
I am addicted to heroin. What's your issue? I fell off a ladder. I think I'm in the wrong. I'm in the wrong rehab.
I want to go to Katie. Put her back on hold, please, whoever's talking to her right now, because she has an interesting falling off the ladder story with a little added bonus to it. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
What's the deal?
What's the deal?
It's a deal. Let's say it correctly now. No, Katie.
I'm going to do the North Dakota accent.
Hey, tell us about your dad and his fall.
So my mom noticed that my dad was limping a couple years ago, and she asked him what he did, and he said he hurt it by working out in the yard. And then she talked to my neighbor later that day, and he said, hey, is David okay? I saw him fall. And she goes, yeah, he's fine. What are you talking about? And he said, oh, you don't know? And she said, no. And he said, well, I saw him from my workshop upstairs, and he had a ladder propped up on a tree, and he was getting ready to cut a tree branch with a chainsaw. And nobody was out there with him, mm-hmm. and the ladder fell out from underneath him with the chainsaw running.
Oh, my God!
And my neighbor ran out, jumped the fence, and he's a Vietnam vet, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And he ran over to see if my dad was okay, and my dad was on the ground. The chainsaw was still running next to him. The emergency shutoff didn't work.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God.
And how bad was he hurt, Katie? I mean, he obviously, he brushed it off, so your mom didn't know, but how bad was he hurt?
He just sprained his ankle.
Oh,
so, you got lucky. Yeah, if you ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos, thanks. The amount of guys who attempt to do the exact same thing with a leaning ladder, get up and remove branches, mm-hmm. with a chainsaw is ridiculous.
Or they cut the branch off that they're leaning on.
Well, my dad cut down an entire enormous tree from our backyard. Like, this is the crap that he does.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He's
spry.
Here's one of my favorites. They're showing the
on QVC.
QVC, yes.
Yeah, when they're demonstrating how awesome the ladder is,
but the guy,
oh, This is the best one. It's like an A-frame type ladder with it collapses when this guy goes into the middle of it.
He's showing how sturdy it is.
Don't keep going, dude.
It is suit and everything.
See, what they needed there were super cute ladders.
Yeah. Right. That would have done it. So somebody texted and said the x-ray tech is wrong. What she called a compound fracture is actually a compaction fracture.
Oh, jeez.
That's why she's an x-ray tech.
We don't use the word compound anymore. Thanks. Have a great
day. Actually, the new phrasing is compunction junction, Preston.
This is from Dr. Larry, by the way.
Yeah, we got a bunch of texts saying that she was slightly off in her description.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe she got nervous on
the I'll tell you what. You get any bone that size snapping, you don't care what the classification is. You just know it hurts.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what? I have to say, I am completely impressed with Paoli Hospital. They did a great job. They were so nice. All of the nurses. My dad's nurse, Frank, also listens to the show. So thank you guys for taking care of him. Really completely impressed with that hospital and everything that they did for us. But I told Preston this morning when they brought my dad in after the surgery, we were waiting in the room for him.
Yeah.
And they brought him in and like he was laying to the side. His mouth was open. Like his tongue was almost hanging out. My mom was like, oh my God. And then of course he popped his head up and started laughing at us.
My friend whose foot was run over by the backhoe, that's where he went for,
Paoli.
I was impressed.
Completely, just crushed his foot, and they have a great trauma center.
They crushed it.
They crushed it.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We got this email, guys. I thought this was kind of interesting, and I won't say who it was from.
I'll say who it's from.
Okay.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, it says, hey, Gadzooks, my wife recently told me a co-worker of hers who has both recently gotten married and had a new baby with his new wife. She also mentioned to me that they still use and will continue to use 100% separate bank accounts, no shared money account.
Huh.
And it says in parentheses, it should be noted that she makes much more than him.
Okay.
Well, so she's smart.
It goes on to say he pays for the stuff he wants. She pays for the stuff she wants. And then they pool money monthly to pay the bills.
So like they're roommates, basically. They're married roommates.
Yeah. This has gone on so far as to he paid for the remodeled basement with his money because it's a room, quote, she won't use anyway.
So it's like a man cave.
Were they married before?
Love you guys. Keep up the funny. No, it's keep up the ha-ha.
Keep up the ha-ha. That's a Bill Weston phrase.
I do. You know what, Nick? I don't know.
What did it say in the beginning? Did it say
this? My wife recently told me about a coworker of hers who has both recently gotten married and had a new baby with his new wife.
All right.
I don't know. That
I don't know either.
Leaves it kind of up in the air.
The only reason I ask is that sometimes if you've been through a divorce, you're a little less likely to join finances as quickly. I mean, I think
A little gun shy, yeah.
And I think over time, it's sort of inevitable. You know, the longer you live with somebody, the longer you're in a relationship with somebody.
What about you?
Well,
because you're kind of going to be, you know, I mean, we don't know what the future holds.
But. Right. I'm in a relationship now, but I don't. Let me use my ex-wife as an example.
Yeah.
She is very gun-shy when it comes to merging finances post-marriage. And
right.
She's, you know, it's just one of the things where she made a decision, and I think that's a wise one. And it has nothing to do with love or commitment or anything like that. To her, it's just a practical thing. So I understand the practicality when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have separate bank accounts.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
How do you pay for your bills?
They're split up. So, like, I have my bills that I pay. He has his bills that he pays.
Really?
And it equals out to about the same money.
I never knew that.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
My parents have done that over the years as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have joint, you know, money for accounts for Jace and...
Jace paid for himself?
Yeah. That kid is on his own.
Yeah.
So we have joint accounts, more of like saving or putting away for, you know, Jace's college, but... yeah, we have our own bank accounts, and I have no idea what's in his.
Wow.
I mean, I really? Definitely see value in it, just because using myself as an example, I literally have no idea what happens to our money. I mean, I literally have zero idea. Like, you know,
yeah,
I make money, it goes into an account, and then we pay bills, and then I only get a warning when I've spent too much.
I know, you know? One thing. Like, there is this crazy machine.
Yeah.
And I put a card in, and money comes out.
Yeah.
And, it's just the wildest thing. It's like a robot, and it seems to know when I need money, because mm-hmm. I ask it with the card, and it comes out. No, my wife handles everything.
She does all the finances?
Everything. Okay.
Same here.
Yeah, I know. I knew Rochelle did.
Yeah.
And do you handle all your finances, Kathy? Like, when it comes to everything, like, who pays the Target card?
Oh, yeah, no, I pay my Target card, okay. Of course, yes.
that's the biggest mortgage. Consideration, yeah.
Mortgage and things like
well,
that.
Well, so that's mine.
You handle that?
Yeah, so the mortgage is me.
What about insurance?
For what?
Car insurance?
That's him.
That's him.
Yeah,
okay. That's,
you know what I'm saying? So it's just like different bills are split up.
Does it speak to strengths and interests? Like, are you maybe more attuned to what a mortgage might cost and, you know, how?
No.
Okay.
Or do you just, you figured out?
I was like, give me the biggest one so I don't have to pay the rest.
Okay.
So it was just kind of where the chips fall. You said, okay, give me the mortgage. I'll take care of that and you take care of everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that makes sense. Listen, you both have full-time jobs. All right. So as opposed to my wife and I, Rochelle's full-time job is managing the household. So that is part of that responsibility. If she was also pulling down like a 9-to-5 or something like that.
What a way to make a living.
Well, I could see we'd have to split up the duties because that's too much for one person to do, right?
Huh.
Even though there are plenty of people listening right now who do that very thing.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't be able to
I'm too stupid.
No, and my wife had initially already had a career in helping to manage offices and making sure that accounts were paid and all that stuff.
She could be a great bookkeeper. Like if she were to, you know, she's so, your wife's mind is so organized.
I don't touch on it at all just because I don't know what I'm doing. B, she's got her system and I don't want to mess with that at all, you know?
All you have to do is sex her up now and then.
That's right, man. Let me go to Jim. Hey, Jim, good morning.
How you doing?
Good. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, I was just going to say, my wife, for years, I've always done the checking, and it winds up that she didn't even know how to do the book.
Okay.
So now she's got her own checking account, so it kind of helps them in the long run for everybody to have their own.
So your finances are split a little bit. I mean, so you're paying you're paying bills for the house and overall.
We do the joint one together, and then we have a separate one, each one of us.
Huh.
Okay.
And
so it works out so that you know you can do that. You learn better on how to do it.
Okay, interesting. Thanks. So, Kathy, your check goes straight into your account.
Yes.
Dennis's goes straight into his.
Yep.
Okay, interesting.
It's funny. Every time I even broach the subject of, all right, hey, maybe I'd like to be a little bit more involved, it turns into a lecture about how I spend too much.
Seriously?
No, that will not be happening.
Why is your voice changed?
Because you will not have your own account.
So you just end up getting chastised a little bit?
Yeah.
You get your own account when you learn how to use the thermostat. And then we'll talk.
Oh, my God. The thermostat is more confusing than ever, by the way.
Absolutely.
But I always
rest my game.
And I've drawn the parallel between myself and Lloyd Christmas in the beginning of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
When he's only got a couple of bucks to spend, then he comes back with the giant foam cowboy hat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, case of Coors Light.
You get distracted.
Stops off for the Rhode Island slut. Yeah, that's me.
Right.
I don't picture
you. There's plenty of jobs if you want to work 40 hours a week.
Like you just get nonsense stuff. Is that
No, but
I think what you're saying
you
is
be like that.
And if I understand what you're saying, you know what? I think you're unfair to yourself. You're not that Lloyd Christmas guy. You're not frivolous. but I think you perceive yourself as such in the same way. Like somebody'd say, "Geez, I just know I shouldn't be a pilot." You know, you know that you just shouldn't be handling the money because Diane happens. My wife has a much more refined perception of protocol and documentation. And she goes analog. She has her preferences about how things are done. And it works.
She does
a brilliant job with it.
It's not that I don't think I can do it. It's just that I trust her and she doesn't mind doing it. So
no. Okay. And it works out. So
yep.
I'm curious, though, with Kathy, with the breakdown, do you sit down? And do you have a mutual bill-paying session, or it's just being done?
No, it's, yeah. We
all
just,
right.
do our own thing.
So here's an example of me. Here, and she'll hand me something and go, sign that. What's this? It's a registration on your car. Yeah. I renewed it for you. Here, and I'm like, really? That was, I had no idea.
Why does it say power of attorney then?
Right. Someday.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Exactly.
I had a buddy from college, and he and his wife tried keeping separate finances until she started frivolously spending all of the money that he was earning. And she was, so I think for many people, it's a benefit and it works just fine. But if there are financial problems, it's easier to hide those financial problems and it's easier to lie about it.
All right. So let me ask that question. Kathy, have you ever, I think there's two different ways to approach this. Do you, if you're going to buy something, you don't run it by Dennis. Do you have to run it by Dennis or do you out of just a sense of responsibility if you're going to make a large purchase?
If you're going to get a car, you'd talk to him about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I do know a couple who he went out and bought a car and didn't let her know.
That would never happen.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, that's too big. But sure, there are things I
purchase. Who pays for vacation? A little secret?
Okay.
Kathy, who pays for vacation?
He does, I'm betting.
No, it depends. It depends on where the vacation is and honestly, we used to do it where whoever booked it.
Okay.
Is paying for it.
Is paying for it.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Let me go next to Brian. Hey, Brian. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. How you guys making out?
Doing good. What's your story, bud?
Okay. So my wife and I, we've been married 25 years, and we have kept separate bank accounts the whole time. Our names are on both of them, but we just run the bills through. Like, she pays for the house. I pay for the cars. She pays the car insurance. I pay for the water, electric.
Kathy. Kathy's situation.
So, but what happens with us, which is pretty cool, is when we're joking around, we'll say, I said, well, you can't go anywhere. Those are my cars. So then she goes, yeah, well, you can't come into the house. I said, well, you can't use my water.
I love it.
Well, actually, even my car is under my wife's name.
Thanks.
Yeah. Just for ease of documentation and keeping everything linear. So, she's going to have, if she ever wants to, take me to the cleaner, she's not going to have any trouble.
This sounds interesting. Let me go to Sean here and get his story. Hey, Sean, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks,
man. So what's up?
So, me and my wife, we have actually three accounts. We have one each separately and then one that we share that we each have a card to so that if somebody's out and might need extra money or something quick that we could send to each other. And our marriage, actually, when we first got into it, we're going to be married 15 years coming up next month. And going into it, we would fight over things. Like, she liked little things like getting her nails done.
Yeah.
And I was worried about, like, make sure bills were paid. But now she has set bills. I have set bills. As long as they're paid, we do our own thing. And when it comes to the vacations, like you were talking about, if she came up with the idea of doing it, she would put down most of the money and I would help out. And then it just worked out that way. And we're totally more happy because of it.
Wait, Sean, it says here on my monitor that you guys almost got divorced.
Yeah. Like we actually separated for 2 years because of we argued about money so much.
And is that when you instituted the separate bank account thing?
Well, we started to do the separate bank account right before we got separated. And then when we got back together, we were like, let's just do this way.
All right.
And see what happens. And it totally makes a big difference.
You know,
I'm always for bills, got to make sure everything's paid for. And, you know, she liked to do little things on her own. And that's all fine because I'm a nerd and I like to buy geeky stuff like Steve. So
yeah.
I get it. But it totally helped us.
Okay. All right. That's good. I mean, my wife and I, money has never really been an argument thing, but for some people, it can be the root of the problem.
We had one point where it got a little dicey, we had to adjust a few things and then, but honestly, when I removed myself from the bill paying deal and she took over, everything got up and running perfectly. And so, a man's got to know his limitations. I used to be able to do it, but not anymore.
I do have something that I never told anybody what I paid for it. I refuse to tell them. And people have
Can I guess?
Asked, What?
The boob job?
No, I haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah.
They're not saggy enough. They'll get to a point where I'll have to call Dr. Ginter. And people have asked because it's close friends, you know, okay. where it's an item you'd look at and they'd go, oh my, you have that? What did you pay for
it? What is it?
I'm not telling you.
Just write it down and I'll say
No.
Is it that dress? Because it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is really.
It's not. No. This is actually fairly on the cheap side.
All right.
She's shopping at Target.
It's not like it.
It's just something that I would never tell anybody what
okay.
I paid for.
All right. Probably. And so Dennis does not know, but would Dennis mind? Okay. I'll tell you this. Guys, don't make the mistake unless you're in a relationship. Don't be a receipt checker.
Yeah.
Don't do that crap. Yeah.
Of what your significant other spends.
What is this? Yeah. What is that? No, because I tell my wife this all the time. It is a joint effort. The fact that she pulls all of that off my plate is such a godsend. I said you never have to run anything by me. It's ludicrous.
Speaking of receipt checkers, though, when we were in Anguilla, when we went to St. Martin, and we went to the casino.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So Rochelle calls me. She's like,
"That's right.
I got a phone call at like 3 o'clock in the morning that says you were trying to take $1,000 out of our account or something like that. It was maybe like $500 or something like that. We were at the casino. I was bombed out of my mind. I lost my money. Damn it, I'm going to win all that back. I go to the ATM in a foreign country, and I'm trying to pull out too much
money.
They
said no, huh?
They called her.
Oh, thank God she was there. Yeah. Yes, they're right. Yeah, they were right.
I came home from work one time. My wife bought a Vespa scooter, and I was like, you didn't discuss this with me?
How irresponsible.
I'm taking that scooter.
Did you buy that without discussion?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? Man. I didn't know that.
Well, we had discussed it many times. I just didn't like her answer.
So you just went and got it?
Yeah, so I just said, screw it. I'm going to go get it.
Does she ride it?
No.
She hates it, right?
Yeah.
Do you ride it?
I do.
You do?
I do, yeah.
You take it to the beach?
I'll be taking it. No, not yet. Okay. No,
When was the last time you rode it?
Last week.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. It's perfect.
So, like, I just kind of tool around the neighborhood and stuff like that. Yeah.
Wow. So when you were getting that.
Oh, my God. I left it at work for 2 days. I bought it.
Because you were scared.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
And you're right, by the way. Yeah. That's the right move.
How'd you break it to her?
You know, it was like pulling a Band-Aid off. I was like, all right.
And it's orange. If I remember correctly, it was presented as a money saving venture because it was so good on gas.
It's great on gas.
You were going to commute to work on it.
Yeah.
That didn't work out so well as it started to get cold.
Yeah, so that's the thing in the morning.
Even like, if it's just mildly warm, he comes to. I remember the few times he came and goes, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that.
Well, because you would need like a completely, you know, separate change of clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to take it into work in the morning,
you need to take that down to the beach. That would be perfect for you.
I know.
There, right?
The problem is, I don't.
Can you get it down there?
But I don't want to ride on 55 with it. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why I got a scooter and not a motorcycle. Yeah,
you need a trailer.
You know that you could rent a trailer cheap.
You could put it in the back of a van case.
I know. I just haven't gotten around to that yet.
But that would be fun for tooling around the shore.
It'd probably fit in your car. Yeah.
All right, let me go. Hang on a second. Let me go back to this. I'm going to go to Steve-O. Hey, Steve-O, good morning.
You guys got to make Uma Thurma work.
Oh. Hang on a second. Thank you. All right, what's up, Steve-O?
Yeah, so this is a hot topic for me and my wife because I'm an accountant, so I kind of monitor everything down to the T. And when we have multiple accounts, so like she's got her own checking account, I have my checking account, then we have a joint checking and a joint savings. But we're trying to save for a house right now, so every dollar that isn't spent house related, I hawk it like I probably get a little
like an accountant. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you got to spend $5 to go to Target and get this and everything like that? So it's definitely, listen.
And I can tell you this: you feel you're being mommied and daddied when you know you like I see some other guys who are really all over their wives for this stuff, and it's I have to imagine and for not outlandish things. It has to make you feel demeaned, you know, and so that's why I would never do it. So if you can do it and just not do that, you know, you're obviously saving for a house. That's a good goal, but you know, don't make her feel demeaned by just checking everything she's doing.
Yeah, I know, and like I said, it's definitely. I try not to do all that, but sometimes, you know, it gets a little tough because.
Well, maybe set up a Ponzi scheme. You're an accountant.
All
your problems will be solved.
You'll have some extra cash.
Yeah, made off that bitch.
Yeah, I know. I was watching The Wizard of Oz, trying to figure out how to do all that stuff.
But you're right, Steve. You can't micromanage.
No.
Somebody like that, or else they just feel violated, but they feel like a prisoner of sorts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, thank you, Steve-O. Appreciate it, bud. All right, listen, I just thought that was an interesting situation. And, you know, for some people it may work. And if money is the issue, that's a great idea, actually. Sure. It takes it out of the equation where you each manage your own money. So, I don't know. All right, we should take a break. Stay there.
Don't you worry. We got you, podcasters. If you would like to enter to win a pair of passes to the Toy Story 4 screening, email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. We'll contact all the winners via email. Good luck, and thanks for listening.
Speaking of noticing.
Are you going to sub-notice things now?
I have noticed, yes.
All right.
The noticer.
Yes.
Notices more than you can possibly imagine. Some of it's important, some of it's not. Yeah. But it's all noticed.
It is.
It is.
I do notice things.
He does.
Let's see. I noticed, you know what, speaking of Dr. King, who is obviously a religious man, very much so. Did you see that Bishop Eddie Long passed away?
Yeah.
No.
He was the head of the country's largest megachurch. Passed away of cancer. He was the guy that not long ago put his house up for sale.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And we saw the pictures of that house.
Yeah, just a sprawling estate.
Is that the one that Madea was buying?
Or was it, had he purchased it from Tyler Perry?
Well, maybe it was the other way around. Maybe he purchased it from Tyler Perry.
He got married to Madea.
No. Somehow or another, there
am
was
I
a
getting this story wrong?
Between the two.
Madea now runs the megachurch.
But
am I wrong?
The house is, I've never seen anything like that.
It looks like
resort?
Yes. It doesn't look like it's one family's home.
Yeah.
No, it has a hell of a port.
Yeah. We're confusing things.
Okay.
Are we?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Yes.
All right. This is Meet the Guy Who Bought. Because I did a search yesterday. I did a search. I typed in Bishop Eddie Long House, and pictures of this gigantic home came up.
And that may be true, but the guy that bought Tyler Perry's house was a guy named David Turner.
Oh,
so okay. Let me get this straight. Eddie Long, before he died, changed his name to David Turner?
No.
No, we're making it worse.
But is David Turner also
a preacher?
A preacher, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, then I've gotten these two mixed up.
He's a televangelist.
So what happened to Madea?
That's a fictional character.
Okay. Anyhow, I assume.
Oh my God! So Eddie Munster, at this point, married Madea, and is now living in this house.
Wait, that's Eddie Long's house here.
So hang on a second. Did you Google Eddie Long's home? Yeah, and this is the picture that came up.
Let me get this straight.
It's stop it.
Howie Long has entered into a civil union with the guy who played Eddie Munster.
Howie Long?
Yeah.
How did he get here?
I don't know. All right, so there's a little bit of inaccuracy in this.
Anyhow.
Regardless of that, we're talking spectacularly posh, lush homes that make you question where all of that money being donated is going.
You know,
like, why can't homes like this be a bed and breakfast? You know, it's always
They should open this up for all of us to stay.
There is a premium platinum level of service. It's like a Airbnb that promises not at this level, but of high quality, you know, quasi mansions that are available.
It's called a resort.
Yeah.
By the way, Nick had just pulled up a fact that Eddie Long actually officiated
Madea's wedding.
No. Coretta Scott King's funeral.
What?
Yeah.
All right, so maybe
who was the wife of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And apparently the church had about 25,000 members. It's just church, just the Georgia-based church.
All right.
That's a huge congregation.
If some of these pastors in various parts of the country will draw rock concert-size audiences.
Absolutely. Joel Olstein. Have you ever seen his
absolutely.
The TV
show?
My mom loves him.
Like the Spectrum, I mean, or something even bigger, like the Wells Fargo Center.
There was that one time where God actually joined him on stage.
Oh, really?
You know God?
I don't even like leaving the parking lot at my church. There's too many cars. Could you imagine?
Yeah, with 50,000 people leaving?
No way.
Speaking of big houses, and this is I noticed this as well. It's in conjunction with
we're noticing more big houses
with Eddie.
More inaccurate information. It just keeps coming. We report, you decide.
Yeah. From Eddie Long, but Kathy actually sent me this the other day. The most expensive house in Conshohocken that is for sale. You sent me this a couple weeks ago.
Don't we have a Conshohocken theme to officially kick this off?
Oh!
I think we actually do, yeah.
We do?
Yeah. So the most expensive house for sale in Conchi, and I forgot where the source of this came from.
Conshohocken!
Yes.
It's from More Than the Curve.
More Than the Curve? That's the site?
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a property at 2042 Hearts Lane.
2042? Is that where the Hearts live, Mr. and Mrs. Hart?
No, but Hearts Lane was not far from the old Y-100
where we used
to work.
That's exactly where it is. Right? Oh. Yep. And that's where, like, all the big houses are.
Yeah, wait a second. It's right around the Ace Club golf course.
Oh, okay.
That's Plymouth Township.
Whatever. Anyhow.
Actually, I think it's White Marsh.
It's a it's a White Marsh Township, but okay. It's a Conshohocken address.
Right.
Like you, Kathy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
for those living a lie.
This is listed for $2,395,000.
That's it?
Yeah, right?
Honestly, that's a lot of money, but I'm surprised that it's not more than $3 or $4 million.
Yeah, you look at like a $2 million home in Los Angeles.
That's nothing.
And you're getting a standard size.
You get a ranch.
Maybe 5,000 square feet, something like that. This place is huge. Next most expensive home to this one is only $765,000 compared to almost 2.4 million.
That's wild.
So the home has 10 acres of land.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's just under 9,000 square feet of house, 5 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, pool with a pool house.
9 bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes.
Horse stalls and a riding ring.
I have 3 horses.
There's a sport court with basketball, tennis, etc., a movie theater, and an unfinished carriage house.
And that's all for what?
3.4 or 2.4.
That's a steal.
Yeah.
It's a big house. It's huge.
I have a fantasy of mine that the company buys a house like this for our radio station to
For the show. It can be our Graceland.
Yeah, forget the station, just our show.
It could be our Neverland Ranch.
Right?
That pool is gorgeous. Yeah.
It's where you can have sleepover parties with the Make-A-Wish kids.
You know who I was talking to? I earlier in the summer, I went and, or at the very end of the summer, I got to get out and play golf with Shane Victorino, who was in town visiting. And he was telling me the story of when he first moved to the area to play for the Phils.
Right.
And for the first couple of years, he lived in a home right over by there in the pool house of a really, really super rich guy. And I forgot who it was, but he told me who there were. I mean, like, F you money to the extreme.
So the pool
house like this.
The pool house must have been huge.
The pool house is like 2,500 square feet.
No.
Holy crap. Yes.
Yeah. And he lived there rent free. And he said it was awesome.
That's great.
My entire house is like 50 square feet.
Right. But for somebody like that who's really only living here between, April and September, October, why would you invest money in
a pool house? A pool house. 2,500 square feet.
How big is your house?
It's under 5,000 square feet, just
dump,
under.
Dump that. Privileged. What? Privileged, dump that.
Privilege.
Listen.
Privilege.
It's a big house, but it's not.
Opulent.
There's a pool house that's half the size of your house.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
What's the biggest house you guys have ever been in? Like a friend or a family
Madea's
member?
House.
Madea, yeah.
Enormous. She's living with Howie Long now.
Been in... My sister had a really rich friend when we were kids, and these people had a house that was so big they actually gave a name to it. It was called Contico House.
Contico House.
They actually named it.
My house was a
pretty damn big house.
Steve's house.
Steve's house.
The biggest house I've ever been in is, I think they said it was 18,000 square feet.
Whoa. 18,000? Well, that's got to be... Is that Queen Bee?
Yes.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
It's beautiful.
All right.
Well, I'm sure it's beautiful, but 18,000, yeah. I mean, like, even 10,000
is big.
Is really, really big.
What do you think it costs to heat an 18,000 square foot house a year?
Right.
It's got to be very economical.
Yeah.
I'm assuming space heaters and right. stuff like that. I'll tell you this. There's a place in Old Westbury, New York, which is very moneyed, and this place was so sprawling that the main bathtub mm-hmm. was in its own room, mm. and you would walk down different levels, and you could. It was like 5.5 feet.
There was a bathtub room?
A bathtub room that was basically an indoor pool.
Do you guys remember the, I told you about breaking both my wrists?
Yes.
Sliding
yes.
down the
and
banister.
And the difficulties of wiping.
Sliding down the banister. Is that, yeah. Well, to backtrack, when I oh. originally broke my wrist, it was sliding down the banister at this house. The front of the house had like a turret. It looked like a castle.
Jesus.
And they had a basketball court inside that house. So that was pretty.
Inside.
Yeah, that was pretty damn big.
I just got a bathroom inside my house.
It was, you could either use it for basketball or racquetball.
Racquetball.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's, when you talk about FU money, that's FU to the FU money.
So this one's the most expensive listed right now. I'm sure there are probably pricier homes around that just aren't for sale.
That area over where the it's the Philadelphia Golf Course. Where is that? Is
that's
that
Gladwin?
That's Gladwin, mm-hmm. and that's
the Philadelphia not, Country Club.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's West Conchie, isn't it?
Is that technically West Conchie?
Is it?
Yeah, I think
I want to say
when you go up that exactly. hill.
Yeah, and then that part of it, I believe, is West Conchahokan.
Hmm. There's some mega places over there.
It's a fun drive in between here and there. Like, if you get on Route 23 and kind of yeah. find your way through, there are a lot of gorgeous homes.
Big homes. It's winding. It's pretty. There's yeah. a lot of trees. It's, yeah.
They chase you out.
I take that drive every now and
then.
No,
it's Gladwin.
Is that Gladwin?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, anyhow, I noticed that. Thought I would share it with you. Something
Hard
else.
To notice.
Something else.
We got most of that information right.
Mm-hmm.
Most.
I noticed this. Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff. Beloved by millions.
Yeah, right? Behind bars, the master of monopolizing people's money still. The business that he ran from prison, he actually ran a business from prison, sort of, is vastly more legit than his multi-billion-dollar con that landed him a 150-year sentence. According to Steve Fishman, the host of Ponzi Supernova, which is a new series focused on Bernie Madoff.
It's also an Oasis song.
He found success steering his talents to the prison supply of Swiss Miss chocolate milk.
So he now...
Or your hot chocolate.
So in prison, he mm-hmm. has worked up a business selling Swiss Miss to other prisoners.
He cornered the hot chocolate market.
Now, is there a Swiss Miss pyramid scheme going on?
What he did was he bought up every package of Swiss Miss from the commissary, so there was no more.
Oh, this prick.
And then he sold it for a profit in the prison yard.
Someone's due for a butt rape.
He made it so that if you wanted any, you had to go through Bernie.
How's this? What kind of prison is he in?
He's in a nice prison.
Okay. We need to change that.
It says here, it seems that Madoff's Swiss Miss hoarding hasn't hurt his standing with the other inmates of Butner Prison, the North Carolina correction facility famed for its cushy digs. And he said he's a star in prison. He stole more money than anyone in history, and to other thieves, that makes him a hero.
Wow.
Yeah.
That should not be the case.
So he's actually got a little celebrity status. Little.
They should put him in with Grossberg.
Amongst everybody else. Grossberger?
Yeah.
Is that from Stir Crazy?
Yeah.
Was he a charming person? And the people who invest with him like him?
They do say that he, as you would imagine, he is able to talk a good game and finesse things, so...
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you look at guys like that and you don't know what their personalities are like and if they won you over with charm or if they just were really good with money. Obviously, his was scheme-based, but I didn't know what his personality was like.
They were showing pictures of this prison. This place looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be uncomfortable.
Do you have pictures inside of it or was it just the
outside? It looked like the outside.
Looks kind of like a business complex.
Yeah, there you go. Like an industrial park.
Nicely
look, he's
landscaped.
Imprisoned at Cisco.
Wow, okay. I did notice another thing or two.
More to notice a thing or two that he noticed.
Yeah. I thought this was interesting. A nose job, of course, one of the most popular cosmetic procedures in the country. Almost 250,000 procedures were performed last year alone. But there's a new way to try this out without going through any actual surgical procedure. There's something called nose lifters.
Nose lifters.
Yes.
Just tape?
The fraction of a cost, you can bring home an itsy-bitsy splint that's made of soft PVC plastic. And then you can experiment with reshaping your nostrils or your nose tip. I saw some pictures.
It's disgusting.
And it really does make a difference.
Wait, permanently or just you can get an idea of what it's going to look like if you have surgery?
It's temporary.
You got to get it. Because you've always had an issue with your nose, right?
No, I don't mind my nose. Well, a little bit, but I haven't.
I think your nose is glorious.
Not to the extent of that I want to reshape it or anything like that.
Oh, this is, well, would you try something like that, Kathy?
Does it go in your nose? I'm confused.
It goes in your nose.
No, I would not.
No. It works almost like a tension rod, pressing against two sides of your nostril to prop up the tip in a new way. As that is admittedly uncomfortable, they recommend only wearing the device for an hour at a time during the first week of trying it out. Then after that, I think you can do it for a little while longer.
I'd be leery of sticking stuff like that in your nose.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if
it's got like a spring or something in it,
goes up in your brain.
In your nasal cavity. I never have liked the idea of anything in the nose. Nose piercing, none of that stuff. What do they call the one that goes through your septum?
That has to hurt.
I don't care for that.
No.
I don't like that look either.
I'm not a big fan. Unless the big ring that does look bullish, the regular small nose ring is okay. I'm down with the gauges and all that other stuff and piercings. It can look cool.
Yeah.
But that one alone, I think, just because you also can't properly blow your nose, and there's always going to be residual snot caught in it.
Yeah, it's just kind of nasty.
That's my take on it. Maybe I'm wrong.
By the way, it's only $25 if you're interested. And it's out of East Asia.
God, these, you know, they really do like to screw around. I mean, wasn't it out of that part of the world where they did that bagel thing on the head? Forehead?
Yes. It was an implant.
An implant.
Under the skin. On your forehead.
Saline. It wasn't a permanent thing.
Oh, really? It was saline? Yeah. But anyhow, it looked like you had somebody glued a bagel onto your forehead. And that was apparently a look for a little while.
It was trendy.
Somewhere in
Asia. Bagels and such.
Wow. Okay. This is another thing that I noticed. This is something I noticed at Bill. I'm going to try to be as descriptive.
This is something that has been noticed by Preston that Bill's not going to like. But Preston's going to try to make it descriptive in a way that's acceptable for radio.
Well, it's from Men's Health magazine. So
Men's Health, it's about health and it's about men.
It's about golden showers.
It's about golden showers. Being on people.
This was...
You're not helping.
Bill didn't like that, I get you. All right,
this was in the news last week. There was unsubstantiated report, Donald Trump and golden showers, anyhow, had taken place.
I just assume people know what that is now. It's been such a common thing, but there's still people who are unaware of what that is.
Europhilia.
Europhilia.
Is what it's called.
I am not.
Europhilia.
Yeah.
No, I am not.
I'm Medea.
Neuroscientist Deborah So says that for some people with this particular fetish, it turns them on because it's a physical representation of, quote, sharing their love.
No. That is flat out stupid.
No, it's not.
That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Open that box. There are two examples with tapered tips of my love. That's just taking a piss, and that's. If I were to connect it through to anything, I think it perhaps has a connection to other acts, sexual acts that's where it comes from. I've never understood the whole world. I guess it's called corporphilia.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing. I know. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, we did the cake sitting and all that stuff, splashing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take splashing over the golden shower.
Well, this is, she says it's a physical representation of sharing their love.
Have you ever?
Representation of sharing love, like maybe kissing or hugging.
Hugging, stroking, petting.
Yeah, things like that.
Handies.
That's stupid.
Naughty.
But for others, it's sexually exciting simply because it's seen as grosser and more taboo. There you go.
Okay, the more taboo. Okay. But it's, to me, it's still, I don't know. It's. Is there any connection from that thrill to the occasional nocturnal, wetting the bed, so to speak?
I don't know. A 2016 study in the Journal of Sex Research finds that 1 in 3 people has experimented with paraphilias, which are unusual sexual interests at some point in their lives.
Man, how jaded do you need to get if you start going into that realm? It's like the movie Hellraiser. in the beginning of Hellraiser. He's this guy is just completely into sadism, and he's gone to every level possible, and so he ends up with this cube that that ends up having him communicate with completely vicious dark forces. Mm-hmm. That's the only way he can get off, by basically banging, having Pinhead rip him apart.
Going to the absolute ultimate extreme.
Yeah.
We've talked about rock stars and their proclivities and sexual fetishes and things like that, you know, the legendary stories. And you wonder if they just reach a point of boredom with normal sex.
I think so.
And they're like, all right, well, I'm going to need a suitcase full of dildos, you
maybe.
Know, or I'm going to do what James Brown did, or I'm going to do what
Chuck Berry
did, because I've done everything else and that doesn't do enough for me anymore.
I don't doubt it. I mean, the great suitcases, the great rock and roll deviant suitcases belong to Robert Plant. We've heard Don Henley.
Yeah.
Has a nice little piece of Samsonite.
So anyhow, physically sharing their love.
That's physically bull-ass.
All right. Anyhow, these are just things that I noticed. I'm glad to pass them along.
Done. He's passed along usable information, and even some of it was accurate. That's what the noticer does. Some he notices things.
And some of it was about piss.
Some of it's about piss, too. Listen to the podcast if you've missed that part.
So be right back. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive, with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher on August 8th.
Or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
From the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
I want to double back to something on the Love You Hate You line, Steve. Somebody was complaining about people seeing school zone lights on.
Yes.
And people driving slow through school zone when the lights are on this time of year when school is not in session.
I noticed it this weekend.
Yeah.
On the weekend, I asked my wife, I said, do you think there's a master switch somewhere without it, or a timer? Because we were within the city of Philadelphia, so we were in Manayunk and around, and every school zone we were going through, that 15-mile-an-hour sign was, and yes, Nick, it was on the weekend, was flashing. And I'm like, what?
That's surprising.
Can you, all right, so it's on the weekend, it's in the summer.
Yeah.
And the speed limit then is 15 miles per hour. Is a cop going to give you a ticket if you do the speed limit?
I don't know. I slow down.
I ain't going to risk it.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, I know the caller was complaining about it, but listen, man, school zones, that's one thing that police are pretty damn clear about that they don't let you get away with.
I had to.
And even if it's, summer and school's not in session, if the light's on, I'm slowing down.
Hell
dude.
Yeah.
I want to get a freaking ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in school zones in the summertime in the regular school hours during the week. You know, it's 3:45 and that's when school lets out or whatever, and the lights will be flashing. But I've not seen it on the weekend, and I've not seen it. I haven't seen it recently either. So I think it's got to be up to the school district to shut it down, right?
I just didn't know if there was some sort of citywide thing that was in effect.
I'm looking at this is a report out of Houston. I don't know why it was pulled up here.
We're called Little Houston.
but it says over summer, some schools are still open. So it may be summer school class sessions.
On the weekend?
I don't know, ma'am. You know, I'm not sure. Or
I want my country back.
Or it could be just a mistake. Because I've seen when there are extended holidays, sometimes that the...
It'll still go.
It'll still flash because it's on a Monday through Friday schedule. You know what I mean?
Do you think it's on a master switch or a timer? It's got to be, right?
It's definitely on a timer.
Yeah, but I don't think that... I think it's... I wouldn't think that it would be district-wide. You know, I don't know. Maybe it is district-wide.
I got pinched going through a school zone one time. It's not like I was even speeding. I was actually going the speed limit. But, man, it sucked. I had approached the traffic light. So I had passed the school zone, okay? Yeah. Then I got stuck at a red light. So the red light was probably, I don't know, a good 25 yards past the school zone. So in the course of me being at this red light and then the light turns green, I completely forgotten that I was in a school zone.
Oh.
And then I proceeded.
Is that on Route 1?
No, it was right by Cardinal O'Hara High School. So, right. You know, right past the Taco Bell there. And so I start going. And I wasn't speeding. I think the speed limit's like 35, 40 miles per hour. I definitely was not speeding.
Here's the issue.
But I got pulled over.
You were in a Taco Bell zone.
Yeah.
Which was 15 miles an hour.
Well, surprisingly enough, I was eating a taco at the time. So as I was getting pulled over, I'm thinking, oh, my God, am I not allowed to eat while I drive? Because I knew I wasn't.
It's possible, yeah.
I knew I wasn't speeding. But, I feel like if there is a stoplight in the middle of a school zone, that they need to put a school zone light there as well for just that occasion.
A reminder. Mm-hmm. Because, like, for example, when I got on, is it Lancaster, I think, or maybe Montgomery? And you pass a couple of schools, and it is clearly marked where this school zone begins and where it ends.
Yeah.
And what bugs the F out of me is when I'm traveling the appropriate 15 miles an hour, and there's some dude on your ass.
Like, dude, I'm not. You can go around.
You go around.
That's fine.
Because I think isn't an infraction within a school zone double the normal?
No, it's not like a
work site.
Don't quote me on that, but I don't think it's like a work site. I don't recall getting a really huge fine for going.
They shot out your tires.
But some school zones are longer than others.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends on how big the school is.
See, elementary school is smaller.
Yeah. Let me go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. And you get why.
And you get why.
All right, Andrew, you are a police officer.
Yes. It's been 10 years.
All right. Now. What can you tell us?
The school zone lights only apply when school's in session. That's per the vehicle code. If you if school's not in session, you don't have to abide by the flashing school zone lights.
All right, so Andrew, am I loony in observing that the lights have seemed to have been on for quite a while?
No, and it's not just there. There's a lot of schools I know of where they because at least the schools where I work in one of the townships out in the suburbs. And the schools where I work, you know, sometimes they forget to shut them off.
I thought so. All right. So, do you know if in a lot of cases, is it a centralized master switch or timer, or do are there multiple points of on and off switching?
At our schools, it's one. You know, there's one way that the switch is deactivated inside the school.
All right.
Short of going out to the box and, you know, manually
now that's,
shutting it off.
I think what Steve means, master switch for all of the schools, right? For all the school zones?
In a certain district.
No, right. Not that I've never heard of that. No,
all right. Okay. All right, but you're saying if school isn't in session, you don't have to abide by the flashing lights. Just rip on through there.
But even myself, you know, I don't, you know, like say it's a, you know, say it's a Rosh Hashanah holiday or something, and some schools have off, some don't. I don't take the chance a lot of times during the school year because I don't know every school when they're in session and when they're not.
And so you don't. You're exactly right. And why play with getting a ticket?
Yeah, I definitely would.
It's never 9 miles long, but it can be a pain in the ass if you're driving around a lot.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Guys, take care.
Yep. Take care, ma'am. We'll see you. All right. Hang on. We have a couple things. We have another police officer. I'm going to go to him first. This is Bob. Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Bob. All right, so the flashing lights, what did you want to tell us?
All right, so here's the situation. We don't know whether school's in session or not. We don't get a memo saying, hey, we got class today. But you'd hate to be the guy that drives through a 50-mile-an-hour and gets hit. You know, so my best advice, heed the stop sign or heed the flashing light. Just automatically assume that school's open. Yes, we do have a soft spot for kids and traffic situations.
Yes, right. Totally.
I don't want to, you know what I mean? I'll write a guy for passing a bus in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, and Bob, by the way, do you have any idea if any schools might turn those lights on because they're having some sort of summer session for some kids?
I mean, it depends on whatever's going on locally.
Okay.
They might say, hey, we got something going on, so, you know, right, school is in session.
Yep.
But typically, we don't know, just like you guys don't know.
All right.
You know, and unless you're an extremely small area, then you might know.
Yep.
But just in general, heed the lights.
All right, good.
Because that's a massive ticket.
I will honestly, I'll get out, put the car in neutral, and push it through the zone just to hedge my bets.
That's a wise idea.
Yeah.
Know.
I mean, that's as safe as I can get.
All right. Today would be a great idea with the temperature to do that.
I think so.
Push your car, yeah.
Yeah, with my snorkel jacket on. Yeah.
All right, thanks, Bob. We appreciate it, man. See you later. By the way, this is pulled up. The speed limit in Pennsylvania school zones, 15 miles per hour. If you are caught speeding there, you will receive a fine, and 3 points are added to your driving
record.
That's
hefty. Whoa. That is hefty.
If you're clocked at 11 miles over the speed limit, the fine is $35 plus $2 for each mile greater than 5 over the speed limit.
Now, if you have 3 points and you get one more point, that's lethal injection territory.
It is not. No, it is not.
Oh, it is not.
No, I think it's electric chair.
All right, electric chair.
Yep, they do that now. let me go to Jordan is a former township worker.
Hey, all right.
Jordan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy, what's up?
Yeah, nothing. I used to work on them, and it's basically a little timer inside them school zones, and
okay.
It's all PennDOT regulated. So PennDOT sets the times that the schools coordinate with them, and then we would go out, turn them on when school starts up, and then right when it ends, we go out and shut them all off for the summer.
So it's up to you guys, the township worker, to do it. There's not a principal?
Or an electric. Yeah, the schools really don't have much involved with it.
Okay, so PennDOT sets the rule. They plan out the times. They coordinate with the school district, and then a city worker has to come out.
City worker or a company has a contract with
okay.
them.
This is
traffic lights or street light maintenance.
This is at the end of the school year. This is not every day. You're not going and turning on all the school lights and then shutting.
No,
them.
Not every no.
Right.
No, there's a timer in there. You program because we would have schools call up sometimes and say, "Hey, we want to add a time," and it was like. You can't just do that. You have to get PennDOT.
Yeah.
To
okay.
That time.
So, what do you think would be the cause of so many? And I personally encountered them school zones with the lights on and blinking over the weekend.
Probably the timer might be messed up. Something
right.
internally with the timer inside. You know, usually.
Well, I keep a couple of screwdrivers in the car. I'll see if I can adjust
some
them.
Some of them are older. So you know, like basically, it's you go around, you turn the switch on, go through the program, and.
You know,
if everything's set and you walk away from it, unless somebody actually calls it in and reports it, the people that work on them don't really know.
It pisses me off and it blows my mind how few people realize, you know, the even like with the buses, when the, you know, the stop and the blinking lights and, you know, you got to stop. Or crossing guards, they don't give them the right of way, you know,
right.
when they're walking kids across the street. Now, we're out of school right now, but... You know, it pisses me off.
Oh, there's a crossing guard in on Steel Road in, like, the Drexel Hill area. He's so great. He wears, like, Mickey Mouse gloves, and he waves to everybody.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He doesn't even work for the district.
Let me go to Lewis. Hey, Lewis, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Yes, I was saying my son is actually back on school. He's out 50, so it's, like, a special school. They're back on school for, like, 3 extra weeks.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Special education classes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so they may have extended periods of school, and that would lead them to having the school zones still needed.
All right.
Okay.
Still the weekend, though. Something's amiss.
Thanks, Luis. I appreciate
it. Gonna have
it,
to
man.
Look into it. Maybe I have to go undercover.
Yeah.
I do have a couple of wigs left.
That is the time that I will do the speed limit to the number.
Yes.
Always. Just because I know that the... That cops can get you for it, and they're serious about it. I mean, you can't mess around with kids being around.
No, and then you're just a fool to do that. Obviously you don't want to. That's why I always thought it was hilarious about the thing about the baby on board thing.
Yeah.
Well, there's no baby on board, so I can randomly drive into this vehicle. And
I have come up behind people and not realized that I'm in a school zone and gone, why are you driving so slow?
Like,
you stupid bastard!
Then I feel like I'm. Complete ass.
And then you realize you're in a funeral procession as well.
Right.
You ever have to go for a suspension on the weekend or like a extended detention or anything like
that?
Of
course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when you hung out with Molly Ringwald, Preston. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's right. And then I got 8 extra weeks added on.
Here's a question. Can a funeral procession go through a school zone at a regular speed?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Right, I'm just trying to play the system here a little bit.
No, I never had to do weekend detention. Did you guys?
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For what?
Man, maybe pulling the fire alarm. But it was, yeah.
You pulled
the fire alarm. Dude, listen, you could, at Catholic school, you didn't have to do much. You just had to accrue 5 demerits.
Yes. Sometimes if you got in trouble more than once, it would mm-hmm. automatically go to a Saturday suspension. It was just very bizarre being on campus, on school, on the weekend.
How long would you have to stay?
2 hours?
Yeah, depending on the severity of your crime.
They stayed virtually all day for the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Did you guys have ISS?
Yeah.
We had ISS, OSS, which is the most severe. That was out of school suspension. And then there was night suspension, which was actually wasn't bad because you could just
we had OPT.
Do your homework.
Night suspension?
Yeah, NSS.
Okay.
And what was that? You had to stay at school at night?
It was just a different form of detention. So, yeah, you'd go in from like 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., but it was quiet hours.
Why don't you come in tonight, Nick?
And
No, are you kidding? I got, I think, one detention my entire school career.
Did you cry?
I didn't even know what to do with it. I went home and I was like, they gave me a detention, Mom.
She was whipping herself like the monk in the Da Vinci Code.
Right. Yeah. What'd you do?
I think I was like 4 seconds late to class. You know, like the bell rang.
And oh, my God.
And I got a detention. I couldn't
believe it. I tried to get here on time. I really did.
Meanwhile, you guys know Queen Bee, who I went, you know, my best friend from high school. She, I mean, just constantly had detention. It was forever detention.
And it's really not that
bad.
She would get
in school suspension all the time. So she would bring her pillow so that she could nap on the desk.
God. They let her do that?
No. Okay. Eventually, they called her mom. And they were like, you know what? Get her out of here. She has to be suspended at home. She can't come in anymore.
Wow. Yeah. I had an in-school session, like for an hour, because a guy and I got into a fight, and that was it. But I don't ever remember having out of school detention.
Yeah, fights were big time suspension. You get in a lot of trouble for that. That was often out of school suspension.
He kicked his ass.
That was 20 and 4 in my high school.
What's that mean?
20 after school detentions, 4 Saturdays.
Oh, it was a fight.
Whoa. Yeah. Really? For a fight?
For a fight.
And it didn't matter if you instigated it or not. Both parties were involved.
My little brother was attacked in the cafeteria and basically just had to defend himself. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
that's what I did.
Barely even threw a punch and still got 20 and 4.
I threw many punches. As demerits?
Yeah, there's 20 demerits. And okay. Yeah, so, but.
Yes, we didn't have those.
You were handed a slip. And on the same slip was, you know, fighting, smoking, lying, cheating, and late for class.
Because we come, like, the schools that I went to, you would get detention if you had not paid all your hookers the proper. There were a lot more lenient, but. A fight was definitely something that they would pay attention to.
I got in one fight in school, and my mom got scared, and then we moved to Bel Air.
Yeah.
I got in one little fight, and I've told you guys this story before, but we had corporal punishment, so I got beat with a leather strap for that.
Oh,
do you guys ever remember having
at school?
At school they beat you with a leather strap?
Absolutely.
Who did it? I have.
The teacher?
Yes. Yeah. I had corporal punishment, too. It used to be fairly common.
And they quite literally made you grab your ankles.
Yeah.
Well, how old were you?
I was in fifth grade.
And just move a little into the light.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Did the other person get the leather strap as well?
Yeah, we both got it. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to pretend you're Emilio Estevez.
Oh, my God.
They call them licks. You get 3 licks.
Oh, okay. Dude. It's like a Tootsie Pop.
And helping. It took 3 licks to get to the
chair. Look, it's chocolate in both of them.
Dude.
Stop it.
So did the teachers hold back, or did they give you 3 licks? Like, boom.
Solid smacks.
One.
Wow. With a leather strap.
2. Yeah. 3. A 3.
Yeah.
A 3.
Three licks.
You hear all of the horror stories about corporal punishment in Catholic school, but I had never experienced that. Did they have it? That was long gone by the time I had gotten to school. Now, my cousin, who is like 18 years older than me, he got his ass handed to him.
Wow.
I received... A spanking, a little bit of, and it wasn't really, I mean, like it wasn't like, you know, the horror stories of welts being, you know, raised and all that stuff. It was more just a quick,
mine stung. I mean, I wasn't crying or anything by the end of it, but it was humiliating.
There are no schools that have corporal punishment anymore, right?
I have no idea.
That's North why our Korea. Kids are soft these days,
right.
Nick.
Little pussies.
Yes.
The potential for lawsuits would seem to me to be overwhelming, and therefore they wouldn't allow it.
I think most parents would be cool with having their children beaten by teachers.
On the opposite end of that spectrum, there was a gal I was talking to last night at the Bitch Box party. And she was talking about, I think it was her son who goes to a school in Philly. And for the birthday, what was it? You can either get high fives or kisses.
From whom?
For the number of years.
From the custodian.
From the teacher.
Oh.
For your birthday.
All right. Time for your kiss.
Yeah.
Kisses?
Kisses.
Yeah.
It was a private school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Is that what you opted for, Kathy, in school?
Maybe. Kisses. Yeah. I kissed everybody.
In the back of the limo.
Hang on a second.
I think kisses would be a big issue.
Well, it's, I mean, it's a private school, so you can decide to be a part
tongue
of it.
Tongue or no tongue?
Yeah, tongue.
Well, it was a private school.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's what you paid for.
Yeah. We didn't go with the tongue package.
Yeah. All right, hang on. Let me go to Max. Hey, Max, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Max, you went to military school.
I did.
All right. What was detention like with that?
Well, I luckily never had to do it, but you saw people doing it all the time because during lunchtime, they would let you eat your lunch, and then they would take you out, because the school was two buildings, and they would take you out into the parking lot that was between the two. And we learned rifle drills, so like how to like march with rifles and stuff, and they just made you do carry rifles around for about an hour. They weighed about like 14 pounds.
Okay. So carry it out in front of you at like parade rest,
pretty much.
Present arms.
Not like right out in front of you.
So like present arms.
Marching, it would be like on your shoulder.
Oh, okay.
So
doing drills. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Because there is a position, and you're exactly right, President, in the formal
present arms.
Present arms.
Holding
yeah,
it out
yeah,
in
right,
front
yeah.
of you. And if you held that for a stretch of time.
That would suck.
That would get, that would suck after a while. Let me go to, hang on a second here. Yeah, let me go to Vinny. Hey, Vinny, good morning.
Hey, morning.
Hey, what's up, Vinny?
Hey, I went to a Catholic high school, and my freshman year, one of my teachers, I think he was 22 or 23 or something like that, real young, look young, fresh out of college.
Yeah.
And I'm very Italian, and I said with a heavy Italian accent, his name was Tom. I said, hey, Tommy, how you doing?
Yeah.
Instantly took my ID, wrote me up for 45 demerits. I had detention every Thursday and Thursday after school and Saturday morning for an entire month.
Wow. We're saying, Tommy, how you doing?
Hey,
Tommy, how you doing?
I called my teacher dude one time, and it wasn't even like I was trying to be disrespectful. Yeah. It was like one of those things where I was like, I don't know, you know?
And it was Sister Dude.
No, it was Mr. Quinn. He actually, he's come here a couple of times. His doctor, his skin doctor's in this building.
Oh, okay.
And he's come here to say hi, but I've never been here when he gets here, but So I had to go after school, and his big thing was writing on the chalkboard. So I had to write on the chalkboard, 100 milk bottles sitting on a wall, one fell down, 99 left. 99 milk bottles sitting on a wall, and I had to do that.
Comma, dude.
Dude. I was like, he's like, what did you call me? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. What did I call you? I have no idea what I called you.
Yeah, you weren't
know?
Calling him something. You were just using a filler word
right,
that you
right.
had gotten used to using.
A sentence enhancer.
Yeah, a sentence enhancer. Oh, man, that sucks.
But I loved him. He was a great teacher.
Yeah, he just wasn't standing for it.
One of my worst encounters in school, fourth grade, happened in the with the chalkboard. Mr. Harris asked me to erase the chalkboard.
Yes.
I erased the effing chalkboard. Now the assignments for next day were on it.
No.
He didn't say erase the chalkboard, but
yeah.
And so he freaked out. He threw a desk across the room. I mean, he went nuts.
Whoa.
There is that Ice Cube Charlie Day movie. Was it School Fight or So it's all around like that. It's the last day of school, and there's all these senior pranks. This is a great prank. So up on the, instead of a chalkboard, it's a dry erase board.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of a cat that somebody drew.
Yeah.
And so Charlie, he's like, oh, come on. You know, and he goes to erase the cat. But what he doesn't realize is that in permanent marker, hidden inside the cat is a penis. So as he erases the cat, there's just a giant penis on the board.
That's hilarious.
If you could pull up that scene, it is so great. I mean, that Fist Fight is the name of the movie.
Oh, Fist Fight, yes.
And that movie's based loosely on another movie called 3 o'clock High.
Yeah. It's just with teachers. But
it's a great movie.
There were a few pretty good laughs in that movie.
Wow, I got to see that. All right, anyhow, well, listen, I'm sorry we headed down this path, but we were talking about school zones and bottom line is, from a couple of police officers, even if it seems like the lights are not running while school is not in session, you should pay attention to the light.
I would.
Just to hedge your bets and not get anything. All right, we need to take a break. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File today is brought to you by McGuff Bus Company. It's now hiring. Earn industry top dollar. Get guaranteed hours, yearly raises, and monthly bonuses. Love where you work at McGuffBus.com. That's McGuffBus.com.
Russian media is reporting that the American toilet on the International Space Station burst late last week, spilling gallons of fluid that astronauts had to switch towels.
Oh, my God. That's the ultimate perceived space nightmare.
A plumbing problem in space. A source told Sputnik News, which is closely affiliated with the Russian government, that the toilet in the U.S. section of the ISS malfunctioned on Friday.
Attention, attention, Moscow. We are hitting self-destruct button.
Spilling water into the microgravity environment. Water is precious. It's a precious resource on the ISS where filtration systems recycle shower water, sweat, and urine even. So astronauts separated the water supply line and the liquid leaked. Over 10 liters of water leaked before the problem was fixed, and the crew had to collect the water using towels, but they got to take
it. That's the time you take your spacewalk.
Yep. After a Popeye's chicken robber could not open a cash register, New Orleans police said he resorted to making off with fried chicken instead. So
it's good chicken.
The man entered the Popeyes just around noon on Monday and attempted to steal money from the register, but the register wouldn't budge, so he just grabbed some fried chicken and took off out of the business.
Chicken.
Police later located and arrested Philip Lee on allegations of simple robbery and simple battery.
I got away with $7 worth of chicken.
Here's one that didn't go well either, a crime that didn't. The carjacking did not go as planned for a gunman on Monday night. He used his gun to tap on a driver's side window of a car. He ordered the 33-year-old male driver to get out of the car and then demanded his keys. The victim stepped out of the car but refused to hand over the keys. The gunman pointed the gun at the victim's feet and pulled the trigger several times, but the gun wouldn't fire. The victim tossed his car keys, and both he and the gunman raced to get the keys. Why the guy throw the keys in the first place? He was going to run after him. Yeah. I don't know. But as they ran, the gunman dropped his cell phone, and the victim picked it up. The gunman apparently got through the car keys first, but police say he was left negotiating with the victim to try and trade the keys for his phone. After the swap, the gunman ran off without getting any of the victim's property, the car, the keys, none of it.
All right, here's the deal. I'll give you the car and the keys if you give me a lift.
The police say the victim was uninjured, and they are searching for the attacker. All right, let me know what you think about this story. A fisherman and moderator of a popular Facebook group has used the body of a dead shark as a bong, promoting widespread criticism on social media.
This happened again.
The video, which appears on popular group Fried Fishing Australia, shows the man holding the lifeless body of a small shark with a pipe stuck between its head and another pipe protruding below its fin.
Was there a similar story to this like a year and a half ago, or defiling a shark body? Remember that somebody got into trouble for that?
Yeah, but I don't think
it was not a bong.
I don't think it was a bong. The man then lights the pipe, sucking from it before exhaling, appearing to laugh, speak while saying, the baby shark kid song is playing in the background. The group defended the post, explaining that the shark was, quote, caught by my mate while we were fishing for mangrove jacks on Friday. After two nights left in the icebox, I came up with the idea. There is no possible way the shark was alive. In a follow-up post, Fried Fishing Australia said that the complaints have led police to visiting the man in the video. And he wrote on Facebook, I just want to say thanks to the bunch of souks who have complained to the point of the police visiting. Honestly, I quit, he said.
All right, so it was just like a shark that was already captured in a...
It was dead.
Dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Like he jumped in it.
No, I think this is pretty funny. The Facebook group is known for posting gory pictures and videos of sea creatures caught by an individual who had once been identified as commercial fisherman Billy Brisbane.
or Briz Lane. He posted photos of himself after catching 5 bull sharks in one day at McCleary River. But he said, by the way, it wasn't weed he was smoking through. It was tobacco.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Rwanda said on Tuesday that it had signed a $400 million deal to produce bottled gas from Lake Kivu, which, this is the bizarre part about it. This lake emits such dense clouds of methane.
Yes.
It's known as one of Africa's killer lakes.
What?
So they had a whole series on Nat Geo. There was a story about one village right off to the side of a lake. A lot of people in this lake. There was the gas formed. It was a particularly humid night. The gas cloud moved off the lake through the village and killed everyone while they slept.
Steve, this might have been in Cameroon because there was one where it actually exploded and killed nearly 1,800 people.
Okay. So the lake, the gas rises in this lake.
Yep.
And then they finally realize they have to start tapping the gas or else it's going to keep happening over and over and over again.
So this gas will settle in places. And, yeah, if it gets ignited, kaboom, man. Yeah, a little worse than that. But so the project would suck gas from the lake's deep floor and bottle it for use. And this should, in turn, help prevent toxic gas bubbling to the surface. I had not been familiar with exploding lakes until I looked that up.
Terrific.
Yeah. All right, then we'll do one more story and wrap it up. Chances are you probably haven't gotten so mad that you drove an ambulance off the road or threatened cops with a machete.
No.
It all started on a stretch of I-10 in Mobile County, Alabama. Police department received a call detailing a pretty terrible scene. The driver of an 18-wheeler had run an ambulance off the road and then proceeded to do so with just about every other car that tried to pass him, and it was all caught on somebody's dash cam. This dude is like...
actively running people off the road. Yeah,
an ambulance.
It's like a duel.
Yeah, the ambulance drivers were among the first to report the incident to police. When they saw the erratic driver, they turned on their lights in an attempt to get the man behind the wheel to pull over. Instead, he ran them off the road. There's video of this. Other cars attempting to pass trucks suffered the same fate. Several other calls were placed during the event. The driver hit 2 other cars before police got there, but the man wasn't backing down so easily. He tried to outrun police by crossing the state line into Mississippi. It's unclear where or why the trucker stopped, but he eventually did, and this is when cops found out he was wielding a machete.
Do you know what had happened? They tried to explain it. They think this might have been in a cassette, got caught in a stereo, and it was playing the Baby Shark song.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. Okay.
I just couldn't.
These are things that need to be done. Consideration. So the highway was shut down, and police engaged with the angry driver for almost 5 hours, and it took an astonishing combination of smoke bombs, tear gas, and flashbangs to get the guy to surrender.
Could have killed a lot of people.
Yeah, multiple felonies, by the way. This guy's going to go to jail for a while. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins, and Noel Gallagher on August 8th.
Or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
From the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services region.
And 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
There was a time where living in the dating world for me personally was fun, but I wanted to be out of it. I wanted to find that special someone.
That's someone special.
Which I did.
You're only human.
The wind in my sails.
Yeah.
it is so fun to watch people go through their dating lives. And now with social media, you have an open window to that world. It's so hilarious sometimes.
And in the news, there's like 9 different stories involving all of this. Yeah. The dating apps, dating services.
I came across a story about a woman who was at a bar, and she was with a friend and met a guy, and it wasn't really a date, but they were hanging out. And through the course of her hanging out with this guy, He had said that he had some friends meeting him at this place. And as the friends started to show up, she started to realize that this guy had not only set up a couple of dates to meet him at this particular bar. Through the course of the evening, he had six different women come by and meet him. Yes.
In one establishment.
That he was going to try to juggle through the evening.
Why would you do that?
Well, he's an idiot, first of all.
He's trying for a personal best.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And so she chronicled this whole thing on Twitter, and the girls ended up, she made it a mission to let the other ladies know what was going on, because after one or two of them came, she realized what was going on. So the girls in the end ended up kind of banding together.
They become friends.
And hanging out and kind of bashing on this guy. So what?
You look
confused.
Why? I don't understand why anybody would do that. It's so hard.
Six is extreme.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's a serial dater, and she uses all sorts of different websites and dating sites, including Plenty of Fish. You guys heard of that?
Yeah, Plenty of Fish in the Sea.
Yeah, and so she routinely, because time is a premium, I guess, will set up two. And so she'll go to one happy hour and meet a guy there, and she presets it so that, like, all right, we're going to go get a drink, happy hour, and then I have other plans at 6:30 or 7 or whatever. And then she'll go get dinner with somebody else at 8 or 8:30.
Yeah.
Two seems manageable, although a little nutty.
And they're different places.
Six, right. That's just insane.
I had three in one place at one time.
Wow. You did?
God. Yeah. And it was a photo match.
No, it was difficult. Now, I didn't set, it just happened to... Oh my God!
Sure,
she's here. You look who showed up. You know, it was that type of thing.
Okay, so you hadn't planned it. It was just,
you gotta leave. Yeah.
I was at a bar.
What the hell are you doing here?
This is in the Kenny Knight days. And
I was
working.
You're a DJ and a happening gig.
Yeah, yeah. And
you're playing all the hits.
And so one was a girl, and I wasn't like exclusively dating anybody at the time. I didn't have a quote unquote girlfriend.
Listen. I'm a wild stallion. You can't tie me down, and you don't want to tie me down.
But I'll never forget it, because it was a crazy night. And
what'd you do?
I kept them in separate parts of the bar. And so I'm working, so it's easy for me to bop around from play. Hey, I'll be right back. I have to go do this, you know?
Did you pretend you were your own visiting cousin from England?
No. Who did that?
My name is always, right? Didn't Peter Brady do that
something
one time?
Like Jack Tripper. He was Austin from Texas.
Right. Yeah.
But I remember going around, and one gal was a record rep who didn't even live in the area to be there. Another girl was a girl I was just kind of, you know, testing the waters out.
Right, just finger stuff.
No, it had been full blown at that
really?
Point.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can.
That's how we test around in Missouri.
Let's test around full intercourse, and if things work out, we'll go to...
I was in my 20s.
Yes.
I worked at a radio station. I was doing bar stuff. But anyhow...
You had Kenny Knighties to give away.
I did. And then another girl was the... She was a suntan oil rep for the bikini contest that was going on there that night. And so I'm going...
Quite a juggling act there.
Place to place. Yeah. That's right, Kenny.
Got it, Kenny.
And
they all want to go home with you.
Yeah. So. That was a good night, man.
You were a good Kenny Knight.
That was a good night. And I did end up with one of them. I had to go, well, I forgot how I ended up making that happen.
How did you shear off the other two? Or did you let the evening decide?
Well, I was there till closing time. So I'd, I'll meet you later. Type of thing.
So
I'll
never
forget because...
Was it just you and the three girls in the place?
I'll never forget because the hockey player Guy Carboneau was there.
Oh, Guy Carboneau.
he played with the St. Louis Blues.
We're starting to twist my move now because Guy Carboneau is going to get all the chicks. So you what determined which was the lucky recipient of Kenny Knight?
The one who liked butt stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one.
Which one of you ladies likes butt stuff?
So you snuck out the back door to go to the back door.
That's right.
Wow. I have never had anything like that.
It was kind of scary and exciting.
Did you feel alive?
And I did.
Yeah.
There were three girls in one place that wanted me, little old me.
So in a bizarre way.
I was really happy.
Can you understand this guy's?
This guy's an idiot. He invited them all to be there. I didn't.
It was happenstance.
Yeah. They knew where I was going to be. They ended up there. Boom! The suntan oil chick had to work that night.
Don't worry.
She was there anyway.
I have to do this. I'm sorry. Oil thing.
I actually met my wife when I was dating a couple of people at the same time, and everyone knew that I was dating a couple of people. But the idea of going on a date, unbeknownst to everyone at the same time, it just seems totally whorish.
By the way, somebody texted and said, were you also wearing your Mrs. Doubtfire costume? I'll be right back. Yeah. I got to go to the bathroom. Hang on. Let me go to Paul. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up, man?
So I had the exact same situation as you did. I worked at a restaurant, and I wasn't exclusively dating any of these girls, but I had three come in all at the same time.
Oh, no.
Two of them actually worked at the restaurant with me. One had gone off to college, but I was 17 at the time, so I was kind of seeing one of the hostesses. Hostess came in and sat in the front of the restaurant. The college chick came back and surprised me, and so she was sitting back in the dining room, and the other girl came in and texted me and said, hey, I'll be there around closing.
Oh, man.
And actually came in an hour early, so I had one at the dining area, one in the bar area, and then I had one come and sit in like kind of like the back room and waited for me to close the restaurant, and I ended up going home with her.
So
for about 2 hours,
yeah,
I had three of them in the restaurant all at the same time, and none of them knew that I was
dating the other ones. Her.
And you pulled it off, Paul?
I pulled it off
later in the bathroom.
I have no idea, but I was a busboy, so I was like, "Oh, I'll be right back. Hold on a second, I got to bust this table." And all the guys in my back room were just howling at me because I was just running lines trying to talk to each one of these girls,
yeah,
and give them equal time.
Horrifying
and exciting at the same time.
You felt alive. There you go, yeah.
Paul. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's scary that somebody's going to find out something, and then on the other end, dude, I got three girls at one.
Kenny Knight.
No, that was an anomaly. That was pretty awesome. But dangerous.
This douche invites six people.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And because he wants to increase his odds of getting some that
That's
night.
It, you know. And then I would imagine there are also tales on the other side. You show up, you're going on a date, and then you realize that you're not the only one.
Oh, sure.
It's mind-boggling. I can't even imagine doing anything like that.
I'm just trying to figure out. This guy's a douche because he invited six girls, right?
Yes.
If six girls that he was dating just so happened to show up in the same place at the same time.
I would also say that
you
should be open and with if you're dating. When I was dating again, I met my wife, and that shut everything down because she was the one. But I was honest and upfront with everybody, and I wasn't being duplicitous at all. So, you know, it'd be fine. But yes, but you can't be dating multiple people and then not alert them to that fact.
Here we go, Kathy. This says, I juggled Kathy's cousin, a guy I had just met a few days before, and a coworker who had a crush on me. And get this, it was at Guppy's.
Oh, so it was Cousin Dan.
Cousin Dan, you
trust
know.
Me, he was juggling you, too.
Dan came to the mixer at Revel, right?
He juggled the mixer as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, he juggled at the mixer, and then he left the mixer.
He left the mixer with somebody. It was when we were at Revel.
At Revel.
He went up to the room. Poor Dan. I hope he's all right with this. Anyway, he got lucky, and then the girl left, and he went back out to another casino where his friend's band was playing.
I was going up the escalator to my room at the end of the night, and he was coming down the escalator because he had just been up in his room
with a condom half zipped up.
Seriously. Yeah.
And why not?
Exactly.
Why not?
Yeah.
Go for it. Let me go to Drew. Hey, Drew, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up, buddy?
All right. So I got a story for this three girls in the same situation deal.
Okay.
When I was in undergrad, I was in a fraternity, mm-hmm. and we were putting on like our big party of the year. So everybody was inviting friends from home to kind of show off and say, hey, come get plastered with us and whatnot. So I invited up the girl that I was seeing from home to come and hang out. Unbeknownst to me, my current fling in undergrad, who I intentionally didn't invite, got invited by another fraternity member, as well as my ex-girlfriend, who I was still sort of amicable with.
Uh-huh.
He got invited also. So it ended up all three of them in the same house.
So what did you do? How did you juggle it?
Yeah.
All right. So I sort of did what Preston was doing at the bar. I sort of like quarantined each one of them to a separate area. We sort of had like...
I think you have something. You might have malaria.
Yeah, stay here.
Yeah.
All right.
Something like that. To make a long story short, the night ended sort of anticlimactically. Nothing ended up happening. I got a... way too drunk and ended up passing out in my room.
Oh,
whiskey D.
I completely blew it.
Huh. True. But I mean, listen, that happens. You're in a fraternity, and yeah, you don't realize that yet. But you at least you kept them apart from each other, right?
Yes. One of them started to kind of catch on because they were drunk too, and they were starting to pull me around and like, come dance with me, come dance with me, et cetera, et cetera. That was probably 4 or 5 years ago now. And they all know about the story now. I'm friends with all of them.
Uh-huh. Well, that's cool that you're able to keep that. I think it'd be hard pressed to keep them from being very pissed off at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of just told them the story, each story at different times, just because it's a funny thing to hear
sure.
about, I guess.
Sure. All right. Thanks, Drew. All right. I got to go to this call. Sean has an interesting story here. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right, so you've had a 3-in-1 night situation before?
Yeah. It was my buddy's 23rd birthday. We were at a local bar. And when we came up to the bar, there was three women in there that I knew. One of them was my buddy's mother. And,
oh.
All right, keep going.
No.
Yeah, it was a bad situation for a good night.
Was the mom attractive?
Very. She had it going, man. I mean, she was wearing a tight dress, heels. I mean, she had the whole nine going.
Yeah. Okay?
But about an hour into the night, we were all doing shots, and we both started getting a little drunk, and this song from Eric Church came on, Drink in My Hand, and she walked over to me and just started hooking up with me out of the random.
This is the mom? And
this is the mom.
Where's your buddy at this point in time?
He's making out with your dad.
Yeah. No, he was three seats down from me. He looks over, and he's flipping out.
Of course!
Yeah, no kidding.
You're making out with his mother!
Ma!
Ma!
But at the same
That's time, what we do!
Oh, dude.
No.
He didn't find out till 2 months later, but I actually went into the parking lot in the same night and had his mother. But
you banged his mom?
Yes. I
Holy
mom.
F!
Are you still friends with him?
He's his dad!
No, stop.
I was at his wedding last month.
How did you fix that one?
Jack Daniels was a...
Jack Daniels? You banged his mom!
Hey, she was single and available. I couldn't help it. But in the same night, not only
couldn't
did
help
I have
it.
His mom,
I couldn't help it. All right.
Not only did I have his mom, but in the same night, I hooked up and danced with two other girls with his mom.
So okay. So mom's a hoe, big time.
Yeah.
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 I mean, she was getting banged in the parking lot that night. It didn't matter who.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
I have something to show you.
God. That's right out of Penthouse Forum.
Yeah, that is.
And you know what? I had to share because I'm hearing all these stories about being in the same bar, but, I was living it that night.
Well, was the mom at the wedding?
Yes.
She brought it up. She'll never let it down.
Is she currently married?
No.
All right.
No, she's still single.
Does she come after you now and then? Do you guys correspond at all? Text messages, sexting, anything like that? D pics?
No, I'm married now.
How old is she?
She, well, I was 20, I was 22, and she was 48.
Okay. But yeah. You said, but she was, so she's, that's, are you firmly in cougar territory, or are you, what are you heading into at that point?
Oh, that's like grandma territory.
When you exceed 40,
mature.
Mature?
Yes. Goes from MILF to mature. Cougar can be anywhere in that.
To empty your bedpan, man?
Yeah.
She was more of a Stifler's mom kind of gal.
All right.
And how old are you now, Sean?
I'm only 26.
All right, so this wasn't that long ago.
51.
Sean, do you think of that encounter that night every day?
No, but when I do look back, I say, I enjoyed that time in my life.
That time in your life a few years ago, yeah.
Hey, where was this happening? What area?
Guppies.
Croydon, Pennsylvania.
Corden?
Croydon.
Croydon. Makes sense. Bucks go.
Sure is. Thanks for that story, Bucks go.
All right, John.
You're my son's friend.
Thanks, man.
You guys have a good day,
bro. You too, man. We'll see you later.
Listen, I'm not good at making cookies or anything, but how about I sit on your face?
Oh, no.
All right, we were talking about trying to juggle multiple.
Let's talk more about banging friends' mom.
More than two at the same time. Let me go to Andrew. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Good, guys. Morning. How are you?
Good, man. What's up, buddy?
So I was a bartender in Colorado, and at one point I was dating the hostess, the bartender, and the waitress all at the same time.
Dude, you're it's like driving with nitroglycerin over a bumpy road. How the hell?
I only got away with it for about 3 months. It was against the rules of the corporation to fraternize with other employees. So I basically told each one, oh, we got to keep this private and secret. You're the special one.
You diabolical cad.
You did it. Oh, my God.
And they adhered to that. But you know what? Even regardless of saying, hey, the corporate rule dictates that we can't have any sort of relationship, people are going to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we had certain, like, hookup areas. So the bartender and I would hook up in the beer cooler. Hostess and I would take a little smoke break.
Oh, you do it at while working?
Yeah, I mean, not full on, but, you know.
Yeah, mess around.
Yeah, hand stuff.
Yeah.
Where is this, Bucksco?
Yeah, no butt stuff.
It was in Colorado.
No butt stuff, he said.
He said Bucksco.
No, where was it? Where did it take place?
The butt stuff, the health code,
he said it was in Colorado, guys.
Hey, okay.
He worked in Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah. We're both clear case.
It was a Fox and Hound in Colorado.
Okay.
Okay.
And they're big into butt stuff.
So how did this end? Did you end up with one of these girls as a full-time thing or what?
No, so they eventually started talking, and they all found out, and the stress of the job got too intense, so I had to quit.
Stress of the job.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I've never cheated ever.
Thanks,
and the stress of having three. And not, I mean, you're not. You know, you're dating at that point. So I got it. But I can't imagine the stress, the weight of knowing you're playing. There's a lit fuse every time you show up at work.
Well, there's always a gray area when you start dating somebody. Are we fully exclusive? Are we in a relationship?
Or can I bang your mom?
Or can I bang your mom?
Yeah.
So if it's in that gray period, sure, you might turn the other person off and they're not going to want anything to do with you because you're still playing the field a little bit. But until you have made it clear that you're exclusive, have at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's part of the deal. You should be honest, and you see, you know, there's no, you know, no commitments, no ties.
There you go, Steve. Here are the terms by age. I'm not even going to do the first one. This is called the feline scale.
Yeah.
So 13 to 17 is a bobcat, so that's when you're, you know, a teenager and dating. 18 to 21 is a wildcat. 22 to 29 is a lynx. 30 to 39 is a puma. 40 to 49 is a cougar. 50 to 59 is a jaguar. If you're in your 60s, you're a panther. But at the age 69, you actually are a pussycat.
Pussycat. And then 80 and above is rest in peace.
No, then you have 70, 79, a cheetah. In your 80s, you're a leopard. In your 90s, you're a tiger. And if you're 100 years old, you're a lion.
Honestly, though, anybody in their 90s, I mean,
I'm a tiger.
When should you, by law, be banned from having sex?
By law?
By law.
Decreed by law.
The government showed up. In an early morning raid, Madge Johnson's vagina was shut down.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. We're going to have to board this up.
Let me go to... Hey, let me try this one. I'm going to Gordon. Hey, Gordon, how you doing, man?
Good. How about you guys?
Good. So what's your story of trying to juggle many at the same time?
So about 3 years ago, I was living in Virginia with the Army, and like any 18-year-old kid, I had plenty of fish, tinder, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there were two girls I met on there, and so I said, oh, let me ask them out. And me not paying attention, I invited them both out to the same bar, the same night, same time.
Oh, no.
And when I get down to the bar, the older one, I think she was about 40-ish, she sits down and we're talking. Then the other girl shows up. And I'm nervous, and she looks at her and goes, Mom, what are you doing here?
No, that's not true.
Is it? Are you making this up?
I am not. I sat down, didn't even notice it, because I only had their first names, and the mom and daughter are sitting there.
So let me ask you, Gordon, you're 18 and she's 40?
Yeah, she was 40, and I think her daughter was about 22.
Okay. And so you had shown up, and they were both already there together?
No, I showed up, and I met the mom there, and then about 10 minutes later, the daughter showed up.
Okay, so what ended up happening?
They both decided that they wanted to both have the date with me.
They both?
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story, right?
It's not true.
Casey doesn't believe it. Are you? Yeah, I mean.
Good story, though, Gordo.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're only getting men calling in, by the way.
Thanks, Gordon. Yeah.
There's got to be some women that do it. Well, Nick, you knew of a, you know, a friend of yours.
Yeah,
does, right?
I started off with a female, and, you know, they can be just as hoary as dudes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, no question.
All right.
But are they stupid enough to do three in one night?
No, women manage it much better than men.
That's the thing.
Yeah. All right, here's the story we want to hear. You're a woman. You've done multiple things, and you end up banging your friend's mother.
I'm going to call her one, Casey?
Yeah, I like that one.
All right, let me go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, dude. What's going on?
Basically what happened was I probably was in my 20s. I was engaged to a girl, and I dropped her off at work. She was a bus girl at the time, mm-hmm. and I met this other girl at my work. So I dropped this girl off, my fiance, sort of say.
Your fiance, sort of say.
Yeah, sort of was.
This is my fiance, sort of say. What was that? What did you say after fiance? I said sort of say. What does that mean?
It's French.
Yeah. Is that like mama say, mama sa?
Mamakusa.
What does that mean? What is that asterisk, so to say?
So to say it was.
Right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin. Pick up where you left off, so to say.
So I dropped my fiance off at work.
All right, mama say.
To this girl's house. I pick her up. We go see Child's Play.
Of course. It's a date movie.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited about seeing Child's Play. It's with the Chucky doll.
Chucky. Well, anyway. So the movie's over. We walk out of the movie theater, and as we're walking down the parking lot, my car is gone.
So to say.
True story.
Okay.
Was in that night, my RX-7 was stolen. My fiance left me, and my girlfriend that I just got left me, too. So I lost three things in one night.
So car was stolen, your fiance left you, and the girl you were cheating on your fiance with dumped you. But you got to see Child's Play.
That was the second time I saw it. I saw it with my fiance, too.
Ah. All right. Well, thank you, Kevin, so to say. Oh, my God. I think he meant say so to speak, possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of say.
All right.
All right, one more, and then we got to take a break. And there was one. Yeah, let me go to Mike here. He just got through. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Nothing. So about a month ago, my buddy's wedding. I was the best man in the wedding. Go to the reception, and there at the reception is the date that I brought, my buddy's cousin, who I had been messing around with, my ex-wife, who still came to visit at points.
Okay.
And the best one of his all was my buddy's sister.
Oh.
And he, they were all going to be there.
Yes, well, Kathy's exactly right. So at this time when this is occurring, have you had encounters with all of them in fairly recent proximity?
All within that month.
Within that month.
And at a wedding reception, it's fertile ground. People that are not married are horny at wedding receptions.
Exactly. Absolutely right. Yep. You know, the drinks were flowing and everything like that. And every time I was alone in a certain space, it was a different one coming up to me saying, hey, you know, what are you doing tonight? Where are you going? And the thing was, is they all knew that I was there with the one, you know, but they still tried to get me to go and do other things in different places. It was,
all right. So the sister, how does that work? How did you manage to do that?
So about six months after I got divorced, I moved in with my buddy, and his sister ended up moving in there too,
so to speak.
So to say. And so one night we were all drinking and everything like that. I actually went to bed, and it was like one of those penthouse stories. About an hour later, I get a knock at my door, and it's the sister, and she pretty much was like, hey.
Your penis is dirty.
Yeah, she tripped and fell.
Yeah, right. And then your friend, your buddy, comes in and goes, no, that's not how you do it.
You do it like this.
Rah, 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 rah.
Wow.
Well, I was freaking out the next morning, like, oh, my God, what did I do? You know, I hope he never finds out. Come to find out about a couple days later, she ends up telling him, and I'm sitting there ready for him to come home and pretty much beat me to a pulp, and he goes, oh, cool.
All right. Well, that's a very
interesting. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Very forgiving friend.
Appreciate it, man.
Oh, my God. You're right, Preston, though, about weddings.
Oh, my God.
When I was single and I would go to weddings, that's why the Wedding Crashers is so funny, because it's true.
If you go to a wedding stag, you're looking for it.
You're dealing with it's a romantic environment. Mm-hmm, they're talking about love and the pursuit of and all of these things and eternity, and it's a fertile ground.
I'm going to go to one more caller. I know, because I actually, now the ladies are starting to call in.
Yes, we have to.
And we're wrapping up, but I have an anonymous caller who's on the line. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey. Okay, so what did you want to tell us about ladies and being able to juggle multiple guys in one night?
Well, I think a ton of ladies are probably thinking, they're, you know, girls do the same thing. But, you know, we can't talk about it. So.
Why not? You think women are less inclined to talk about it?
Treated differently, you know.
Yeah.
Are you single?
I'm not going to call in and say, you know, say our dirty tricks like that.
Are you single right now?
That's what I think.
Are you single right now?
Not really. I don't know. No. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of in a gray area with somebody.
Okay. I don't think of it that way. I think you can do, you know, but I know, I guess there's a perception, but
sure.
It's a
double standard.
Yeah, but you, as far as most guys I know are concerned, have at it.
Yeah. So how many guys are you seeing now?
I've been seeing like a few guys like all year. Like I've been juggling guys all year, and now I guess I'm
but
thinking I want to be more serious with one of them.
But hang on, but any in the same night?
Not like I've met up with five of them at the same place. That's crazy.
That's too many balls.
Yeah, they're smarter. Women
that's
are smarter.
10 balls.
About
10 balls.
I can't juggle 10 balls. What am I, in the Sullivan Show?
There's incredible display of testicular fortitude. And now the Beatles. She's still talking.
She's not listening.
She can't hear us.
No wonder she's dating six guys. You can't listen to one of them. God.
Okay.
All right. No, we understand.
Listen, rock on with your girl power.
She's still talking.
I know.
Listen, okay, I think what she was saying is girls are smarter about it. Maybe she's juggling them, but she's not going to the same place.
I believe
like
it.
A guy would.
I firmly believe it.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But as to the original story that Nick brought up, is that so one's going out for a happy hour, and then the second date is dinner.
So
and the third date is Child's Play 4.
The story of this this whole exchange on Twitter that got this started is like, it's like a dozen pages long. It was too much for me to go into, but it's a funny read, especially the Twitter posts that are in here of this girl that showed up, and all of a sudden she realized this guy had planned multiple dates in the same place, in the same night. By the end of the night, these six girls end up becoming buddies because they were all hanging around watching this going on.
Yeah.
And they actually found it kind of funny because these were, I think these were first dates.
Yes.
So they didn't really, they didn't have, you know, a vested interest in this guy. Or they weren't invested in his,
right.
in a relationship with him. And they were just like, are you kidding me? And so they weren't that pissed off about it. So it was pretty funny. But anyhow, wow. Obviously, a lot of stories out there like this very thing. So anyhow, thanks for sharing those. We're going to break. Stay close because we'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Quickly, I'd like to do something kind of special and unbeknownst to everyone
here. All right.
But we got something. This is for one of the members of the show. Marissa, is it possible you could bring this in here real quick? Yeah, this is just a little special. Do we have music for this,
yeah,
Casey?
Right here.
All right, where is it?
Right here.
Beautiful.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it. Ladies and gentlemen, Kathy, for you and the new bun in the oven.
Oh, that's so nice.
We decided to get you something special for your
what the hell is this?
Upcoming
baby.
I
hate all of you.
Do you blow those things?
She said she was pregnant.
She did.
No, I didn't. She did. Steve said that.
Oh, did I say it? I'm sorry.
So we got two balloons. One, it's a boy. The other one, it's a girl. Because obviously you guys are going to keep the sex of the baby secret.
Can we do what it's the, you know, the thing now, a gender reveal party, Kathy? Can we do that?
Oh, and it's an orange dolphin, sort of like the manatee that tried to rape you.
Yeah.
Where did you get this? Orange dolphin?
Did we get it at Cho's?
Cho's.
They had that at Cho's.
Orange.
In the dolphin section.
Dude, they have everything at this tiny,
it's amazing,
basically walk-in closet of a convenience store in the basement of this building.
It's like the wardrobe, the Narnia wardrobe.
We got that.
Yeah, we got that.
Wait, Nick, where did you see Mr. and Mrs. Cho?
I was outside the ShopRite in East
outside
Norton.
Of Philly Jack's.
No, not even close. I was in East Norton at the ShopRite and off of Germantown Pike, and Mr. and Mrs. Cho were coming out of the ShopRite with supplies for Cho's store. So they had like bottles of water and stuff that they were probably going to sell the next day. Maybe they bought your dolphin there and resold it to you here today.
You guys actually got a card?
Yeah.
Listen,
what you do.
Firstborn here.
We care about you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a girl? That's a boy.
It's a boy and it's a girl. That's what I said, yeah.
And there's a Malamar balloon, which started the whole conversation.
All I wanted to say was that there are really giant chipwiches sold at an ice cream place in Conshohocken. That's all.
And it turned into?
This baby shower that you're having for me now.
Kathy's not pregnant, but we just thought we'd celebrate a little bit more.
You'd celebrate.
There you go.
And even though we just said that she's not, she's still going to get inquiries and email.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yep.
You can give you Orange Dolphin to Jace if you want.
He's actually going to love this. For some reason, he's back now to big stuffed animals.
Okay.
Like huge.
Cool.
The bigger, the better.
Oh, then you got to go to TJ Maxx. They have the cheapest, biggest, I'm talking huge, bigger than him stuffed animals.
Oh, really?
Cool. Right, yes.
Well, we have a giant tiger that's been in his room forever. And now we just found a bear. So he's going to love this one.
Make sure he loses that by 18 or then he becomes a plushie.
A plushie. Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Right. More.
And we're just excited about the baby.
Hey, I was gonna do noticer stuff, but I think I'm gonna forego that, and maybe I'll go back to noticing something. But I had something written down.
You're gonna skip noticing.
I'll go back to noticing later. But I did.
Kristen, the written down reader.
This is kind of a noticer thing, actually.
And what is it?
I want to see if you guys agree with me. And I don't know. There was a reason I wrote this down, and I don't know what the example was. But do you think that you can tell if someone is a little bit...
pregnant?
No. A little bit crazy by the way they laugh.
It started with my weird laugh that I had on the show the other day.
Is that how it started?
Yeah. And it reminded you of somebody else.
This was it.
That might have been it. Because I believe... And there are people
you've
that
had
have,
an incident recently that made you think about this. Besides Casey's laugh,
did no,
you,
I think it was
was
that
it just
that
Casey's laugh?
Because I remember there have been a couple of people that I've noticed.
Yeah,
and that like somebody might be in a relationship with somebody, and I like them, and you get to know them, but there's something about the way they laugh that's just like, wow, that sounds like you're kind of nuts. Uh-huh. And then later on, it turned out they were crazy.
Well, they're doing very odd things. If you're like,
not that.
That's an obvious. But if there's some sort of slight nuance to the laugh,
it's that laugh. Okay. You know what I mean?
We've had a lady call into this show before.
Who has that?
Yeah, she goes. Don't know if I want to say her name, but
no.
Okay.
I think we know.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
You'd have to write it down. I'll write it down.
I don't know if you remember this, but I mean, she could probably call. I'm pretty sure this is what she goes by.
Yeah.
But no, that one. God, crazy ass laugh.
I guess it was with Casey doing it the other day.
No.
But it made me realize that some people, I think I can predict that at some point they're going to go off the edge.
Well, if you're insane, please call in. And
I don't want insane people to call. I want if somebody concurs with this.
I can see,
if you're insane, you can call in.
I can see that. You believe it's that particular laugh that indicates a mental issue.
All right, so it's a laugh that's accompanied by just a blank stare.
But it's a machine gun laugh.
If they're exactly. laughing while firing a machine gun, too, that's a good indication. that would be an insane laugh.
Let me go to Matt. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Kathy, congratulations.
Okay.
Right on. No, it's totally true. I think people who laugh weird are totally crazy. And people who smile all the time, I think, are a little insane as well.
I think the smiling...
What is the smiling all the time? What is that?
But it's also... there are people that have pleasant, warm smiles who just have that sort of lit up look, which is great.
No,
and then there are people who transcend it. It's almost, it's the visual equivalent of the,
yeah. Like, give me an example. Like, they're just, like smiling all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
My girl smiles all the time. Smiles all the time.
That's party all the time.
Smiling for no reason. You just see them walking around. They're smiling.
There was a guy outside of, and I listen, if you have issues, I'm sorry, but I pegged this guy within seconds. There's a new Amazon drop box right outside the 7-Eleven that I go to on Ridge. Very cool. I think it's very interesting. I'm a big Amazon fan. Sitting next to it is a guy who is holding a can of soda and smiling at it.
Mm.
Like looking at, you know.
Looking at the soda and just enjoying it and... Wow.
And just smiling.
Smiling is my favorite.
This is my favorite flavor. And I pegged it, and then I started, to hear a dialogue going on when I came out.
Oh,
and he was the soda apparently had some issues with him.
I recently got a video of it. It's actually very sad. It's a guy I went to high school with, but he clearly has some issues. And
did he have issues while you were in high school?
No, he did not. He did not. I think he got into drugs, but I'm pretty sure he got into drugs. But he's outside a convenience store, and he's kind of talking to himself, and he's like mumbling. But I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding you at all, and I'll show it to you. He looks like Ed Bassmaster's character.
Really?
I bet Kathy's pregnant. I bet Kathy's
pregnant. Stop it. Is that what he's saying? Yes, he looks like one of his characters.
Skippy, with the big glasses?
Who has the receding hairline?
Mumbles.
No, that's, I don't know.
I forget who it is, but it looks exactly like his character.
Hang on, I'm going to go to, I just lost that person.
Oh, man.
Yeah, hang on, let me go to AJ. Hi, AJ, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, AJ?
You guys rock.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to say, there's something called maniacal laughter. So I have bipolar mania type, manic type, which means I get manic more often than I get depressed.
Okay.
So uncontrolled laughter is definitely a symptom of mania. You have no control over it. It gets loud. It gets wild. And it's a symptom of bipolar disorder.
AJ,
I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, it's interesting you've been saying that because there was a thing on I forget where I read it, but they're pointing out Hillary Clinton had a head issue. She had hit her head a few years ago.
Oh.
And there's some people that say that now that she has developed kind of that really, you know, the laugh that the SNL would make fun of, you know, Amy Poehler, that sort of thing, that is similar to that kind of what he described, the
maniacal
laughter, you know. So it's kind of weird. It's not, I don't think it's necessarily an indication of mental issues, but I've heard that phrase before.
I laugh at inappropriate times, and I can't help it sometimes. It's like nervousness or something really sad, and like
really?
I feel bad when it happens.
Do you know any ideas to? Is it a case of you telling yourself not to, and
no,
then you end up doing it?
No, and it's. I feel terrible afterwards, but and maybe this isn't the best example, but you know, somebody will tell me like about a death or you know, something tragic, something awful, and my natural reaction to it is to laugh, and I don't know, I don't know exactly why that is, but
a defensive mechanism.
You're uncomfortable with the situation,
yeah, and so maybe the only way out of the situation is to react to it in a positive manner.
Are you a heartless prick?
No.
Oh, or that.
No.
Somebody who's texting says that they smile at when they're nervous or during awkward times.
Yeah, yes. That too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I can't say that I fall into that category.
What's that syndrome that Danny Glover talks about? There's a commercial about I'm an actor. I can laugh and cry on command. Even if it's my birthday, I can do it. What is that syndrome, though? You know,
Is it bipolar?
No, there's a specific
name. It's something
name
I've never
for
heard of before. Yeah. And he does a commercial for it. It's a name you're not.
I'll tell
you
what.
That often.
There are some weird commercials out there for some very, very specific rare illnesses out there. Uh-huh. Who do you call it?
Watch the news channels.
Yeah.
The news channels target older people.
Yeah, Tim Daly's doing one now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
What is that?
There's like seven people that have it. It's called manatee syndrome.
let me go next to Heather. Hey, Heather. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Heather?
I was telling you that my grandmother has the most evil laugh that I could ever imagine. And as soon as she is done with this evil laugh, she actually snaps back to reality and tries to laugh regular. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
She does it to sad situations, like the guy that was on the radio.
Right.
She does it to sad situations. Just, she cries. She's just... It's very odd.
She might have this thing that Danny Glover is talking about.
She might.
Can you guys, Nick, can you look for the name of it? Because the commercial airs all the freaking time. It makes me cry and laugh every time.
PBA. I don't know what that is, though.
Right. Everybody says I have a really
Professional big Bowlers Association.
It's the Professional Bowlers Association that causes that reaction.
Yeah.
Because it is very competitive.
It's hilariously sad.
It's hilarious that people consider it a sport. Yeah. It's hilarious that people consider it a sport, but very tragic in a way.
That people show up
show up to watch it.
Was that Preston just laughing? No, that's an evil laugh.
Shut up.
That's an evil laugh. That is hilarious. I love it.
I have an evil laugh.
All right, thank
you. I love
you.
It. Absolutely. You guys have a great day. You guys rock.
You too. We'll see you later.
So it's called pseudo-bulbar effect.
Okay.
Which I've never heard of, except for the Danny Glover commercial.
It's the Professional Bowlers Association.
No, because I remember someone that I met through someone else, and this person you'd say something funny, and it would be that machine gun laugh, as I said, but it would be like loud immediately in your face, ha 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 ha, like that, and I would just be like, wow, it was not that humorous.
Like
what
you're
I just
a robot,
said.
And you're like, you said something funny, I must laugh, ha ha ha
ha, and I'm just like, that sounds a little.
Robot-y.
Nutty.
Yeah. And do you ever say that?
The person
I think you're insane.
No. You are clearly insane.
I bet you're insane. Am I right?
I'm going to go next to Adam. Hi, Adam. Good morning.
Yo, you guys rock.
Thank you, Adam. What's
rock
up, bud?
All
right. So my girlfriend, Liz, I love her to death. I hope she's not listening right now.
You just said her name.
Yeah, that's all.
Liz is a made-up name.
What's your last name?
So when she laughs, she has a normal laugh, but when she throws her head back, it's like there should be like a thundercloud and a bolt of lightning going off, and she's like making potions or something.
She's got a full-blown witch laugh.
It's kind of like
Dracula, you know, like, but it's faster and higher pitch. It's like,
Do you know who sort of has that going on? A Man About Town. When he does his, and he throws his head back, and Bill is a robust laugher, but he has a very histrionic laugh.
Right.
You know, and there's a little bit of that as well. I don't think he has that Professional Bowlers Association thing going on.
Oh, man. You know who I just realized has a bit of a crazy laugh?
Who?
Marissa Magnata.
Marissa
Kitts. Which one? Her real laugh?
Loud. Her real, you just cracked her up big time laugh.
And the volume is off
it's
the charts.
So loud. It's insane, man.
It seems almost, and I know it's not, but it seems almost put on. That's how.
You want to get that kind of laugh out of this thing that really makes a laugh? Go over to like a children's hospital and watch kids fall down and stuff. You'll get that laugh. She laughs at very inappropriate stuff.
My genuine laugh sounds fake.
People falling. Oh, yeah. People falling, people getting hurt. Not that you're an evil person, but that just makes you laugh a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny. What do you want from me?
What do you want?
Get off my back.
I have a sick sense of humor.
Yeah. No, it's true.
I got a text.
But it's loud, man.
I got a text from Dr. Gary. By the way, Dr. Mike, you're sleeping at the wheel. Dr. Gary told me that the PBA usually happens to people who have had strokes.
Ah.
Okay. Was not aware of that. Let me go to...
Dr. Mike's laugh is a little...
Is it?
Creepy.
It's creepy?
It's not creepy, but... Yeah, creepy. No.
Okay. I'm trying to think of...
What is his laugh?
It's Mike's like a little cackle, kind of. Cackle-ish.
Well, he's very big, you know.
He's a big personality. Yeah.
It goes with his personality.
It works.
I'm going to go to Cindy. Hey, Cindy, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks.
What's up, Cindy?
Well, I actually work at a psych hospital, and I just got out about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And sometimes our lobby will be pretty full, and you can kind of tell, like, people are looking at their phones or reading things, and how they laugh. You can kind of tell where in the hospital, like, which type of unit they're going to be on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have, like, not names, because you can't diagnose by a laugh, but... Yeah. You have the one that you're talking about, like the machine gun laugh, and then you have the flat laugh where they're laughing hysterically, but their face is showing no emotion.
Yeah, that's a troubling laugh where there's no, it's a deadpan face, and yet they're cackling.
Wow.
Or you get ones that they're kind of like hiccup laughs.
Right.
They're like, uh-huh.
Wait, all right, so you're not allowed to necessarily diagnose through laughs. However, is there usually like so that weird laughing that you were talking about, mm-hmm. where it's just a straight face and they're cracking up? What does that usually indicate?
Sometimes it could be like dissociation, where they're just not really in touch with reality, or that they're responding to something internal, like voices in their head.
Wow,
where they're seeing things that aren't there.
Oh.
Sometimes it is just the inappropriate laughter where they might be having some voices or seeing some stuff going on that's not actually happening, and it scares them, so they laugh.
Is it the anticipation knowing that they're next up to bowl?
It's very...
It may be. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it, Cindy.
This is Dr. Mike's laugh.
He's on the line. We need his music.
Yes, come on.
He doesn't get music anymore.
He does.
By the way, I like Gary
beat him.
A laugh I like is George McFly.
That's a great laugh.
All right, where's his music?
It is.
Play his theme song, because we can't go to him.
There it is.
Let's forget that. Here we go. From Penn Medicine, Dr. Mike Sirigliano.
Yeah.
See?
Clearly.
I was doing a rectal exam. Come on. In real life, Doug.
My hands were messy, right?
Oh, my God. I won't touch a phone. It's dirty.
No, you're right.
I don't want to get...
By the way, Dr. Mike has given me at least a couple of 6-foot horror figures that laugh this maniacal laugh. So you're well-versed in this, Dr. Mike.
Well, we laugh all together every night. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
So, it's not just stroke, but pseudobulbar affect is something that can be caused by a lot of things, MS. And I, you know, I've actually never diagnosed a case, but we have had them in the neurology department that I've seen. And when I was a resident, I had one. But it's something that it's fascinating, and there are treatments available. The problem is a lot of people think that it's just depression because people start crying hysterically or laughing, and they don't. They consider it a mood disorder, and it gets misdiagnosed.
So it's nothing akin to that. It's just it's more a chemical a reaction. It's not something based in depression or schizophrenia or anything like that.
Problem.
Okay, interesting. Wow.
It's a hardware problem.
So, Dr. Mike, they're not actually feeling that emotion at the time.
It's uncontrolled. It's something that just it has to do with serotonin and damage to the brain through a number of things, and Parkinson's disease. All of those things can lead to damage, and then lead to this outburst, and there are treatments. You can use tricyclic antidepressants or serotonin uptake inhibitors like Prozac, Celexa, all of those.
So I bet you a lot of people are reticent to use that form of treatment because they don't want to end up drugged up to fight this.
Well, the good news about those drugs is that they don't make you drugged up. They're right. Not like Valium. They're not like a sedative. They affect serotonin, and they're the mainstay of treatment for depression and anxiety. I use them all the time in my practice.
All right.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, man.
Now, look.
What?
Preston, I have not gotten any poopy emotions.
I knew you were going to say that.
I knew. It's a private thing.
Dr. Mike and I. So I was having some bowel issues.
Yes.
And so Dr. Mike kept checking on me like he does because he's an amazing doctor. So I decided that every time I took a dump, I'm going to send him a poop emoji.
Oh, okay.
And you have not?
And, of course, Dr. Mike, being the amazing physician that he is, will text me like, he's like, haven't seen any poop in 2 days. What's going on over there? He'll send me these texts. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'll send him like 5 in a row.
Okay, so everything's working okay? To.
Everything is moving wonderfully, Mike. I figured I'd just back off of that for now.
All right, fine. All right. I don't take it personally.
All right.
And Casey sends me a PT. I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
I don't know.
Hey, by the way, real quick, Dr. Mike, while you're on the line, what kind of prenatal vitamins should Kathy be taking?
Stop it.
No,
Dr. Mike. They just announced that I was.
Jeez. I love it. Mike Jarrett's not the father, right?
No.
However, that concoction you have me blowing up my nose is, I'm not too sure about it, Dr. Mike.
Oh, it works like a charm. It's not working?
It's making my throat hurt.
Well, then call me.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're sending him a poop emoji.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway.
I'll send you a nose emoji.
All right. Love you, Dr. Mike.
A good one that's got folic acid in it. That's what you need. Anyway.
Right.
Love you.
Love you. Mike, guy's amazing. Let me see. What else, Case? Oh, I got to wrap it up?
Yeah.
What? Okay. What are you doing?
Freddy Krueger's here.
Is that what that was?
What are you talking about?
What? Freddy Krueger does not go...
What's the sound he makes?
That's like a cat.
No.
He was doing like that?
Not even close.
The blade.
Pink.
And the blades are only on one hand.
Well,
we were doing both.
Here's doing... Is it on the right or it's on the right?
Oh, there's a cougar here.
Freddy Cougar.
Kathy. Freddy Cougar.
Okay. All right. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back in a moment. That was awesome.
Stay with us, all right?
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
A Utah man has been charged with sexual assault and kidnapping after authorities say he hammered a tool resembling an ice pick through another man's penis during an argument.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right, so how is the penis out and hammerable?
Oh, I'll explain this.
All right.
45-year-old Jason D. Maughan is scheduled to make a court appearance in Salt Lake City. Documents show that Maughan is accused of putting a gun to the victim's head and handcuffing him to a chair.
Well,
Steve,
there
this
you go.
Is right out of The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Oh, my God.
The victim told police that he was given a choice of being killed in the desert or having a nail driven into his penis.
How about I eat a cookie with something in it that I don't know what it is?
He says he went to the hospital the next day for treatment after Maughan took the handcuffs off.
Jeez.
The charging document describes the case as domestic violence and says the men lived together but does not explain their exact relationship. Mm. He is currently being held.
I'm guessing one was a submissive.
At the South Lake County Jail. Yeah.
That's horrible.
One was a psycho, that's for sure. A Florida couple's dream African getaway, Kathy, turned into a nightmare when a protective hippopotamus mother attacked their canoe, leaving the 37-year-old woman in critical condition.
Oh, wow, yeah. They can be nasty.
They are. I think they're the deadliest land animals, correct, Preston?
Yeah, they are, Steve, in Africa. Kristen and Ryan Yaldor decided to celebrate Kristen's birthday in South Africa and Zimbabwe and decided to take a canoe trip near Victoria Falls. As the couple paddled down the Zambezi River, their canoe unknowingly came close to a hippopotamus and her young calf. The mother hippo reacted by swimming under the canoe and flipping it, leaving Ryan and Kristen helpless in the water. Ryan was able to safely swim to a nearby island, but Kristen was dragged underwater as the hippo chomped on her leg and broke her femur.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She is amazingly lucky.
Well, she's still in critical condition.
Yeah.
They said they had these incisors, you know, went into her leg.
Oh, my God.
Had it hit her femoral artery, she would have been dead.
Because they usually just kill you flat out.
Yeah, she was able to escape, but had to wait an hour for medical help. She was finally brought to a hospital in South Africa 13 hours later, so she's in bad shape.
For the brief period of time when I was looking to go to South Africa, that Victoria Falls was one of the locations I wanted to go to. It's supposed to be beautiful. And the girl that, the singer, I forget her name, I think, is it Kim, who did the Jackie Bam Bam song? And
Kim Graff.
Yeah, she was supposed to go there on her honeymoon. I'm not sure if she went or not, but she was supposed to go to that Victoria Falls.
Well,
yeah.
There's footage, and it'll scare the crap out of you. We're looking at it right now of a hippo, a pissed off hippo.
My God.
Trailing a boat.
Yeah, a motorboat.
Huge.
They look so cute, though.
Right?
When you see the enormity of that maw.
Yeah. I mean, they can eat you alive. It's crazy.
And remember that picture from years ago of Marissa next to the hippo at the Adventure Aquarium?
Yes.
Like, the mouth is so huge.
It's massive.
Marissa is not the hippo.
Yes.
She can put her fist in her mouth.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
that's
not
right. Around noon every day, we feed Marissa some bok choy.
Yeah.
No, with all her the problems she's having with the surgery and all that.
Oh my God.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we'll monitor this and see how this woman pulls out of it. Picking the perfect first date activity can be tricky. You want to do something fun, which is going to allow you to get to know the person, but something that won't be too awkward if you don't hit it off. So when one woman's Tinder date said that he had a surprise planned for their first meeting, she was very excited. When he told her to wear a black dress, she thought, oh, this is a romantic treat. But it actually turned into be his grandmother's funeral.
He needed a date for his grandmother's funeral?
Yeah, they were gonna chuck bum-bum in the gum-gum in the clay, and he needed a date. He didn't tell her where they were going until they pulled up at the crematorium, and she felt that it was then too late to leave.
This must be an escape room.
So instead, she sat through the entire service and held his hand when he got upset.
All right, when are they going to come out and say surprise?
The mortified woman shared the story with a friend who then shared screen grabs of the bizarre conversation on social media.
So people obviously are coming up. How did he answer, and who's this, you know?
Even though she wanted to leave, the woman felt that she would look bad if she did so and stayed for the service. But she didn't make it to the wake. She demanded the man take her home as soon as they left the crematorium.
Oh, my God.
Didn't go very well. A woman shot her adult son Monday afternoon after he pulled out a samurai sword during an argument. The mother and her 21-year-old son were fighting. They were arguing over something. So she shot him in the leg after he pulled out a samurai sword during the argument.
What did I tell you about your sword?
Yeah. The son was taken with minor injuries to the hospital. The mother, who has not been identified, will probably not face charges. She was defending herself.
She was being
herself.
Attacked.
Yeah.
But in most families, isn't it the mother that has the samurai sword?
It's usually the other way around, yes. The shooting occurred across the street from a middle school. It's not clear if students were placed on lockdown and police were notified. We're not notified of one.
We have a samurai sword.
We do. We have a couple of them.
A couple of them, yeah.
And we'll do one more story, and let's go with this one. Two dozen workers at an Amazon fulfillment center in New Jersey were taken to hospitals Wednesday after a machine punctured an aerosol canister of bear repellent, causing it to discharge toxic fumes inside the building.
And here's the best part. I was the one that placed the order.
Employees reported experiencing difficulty breathing and burning sensation in their eyes and throat. Emergency personnel responded to a morning 911 call that 54 workers at the fulfillment center were experiencing symptoms. So a lot of people got sick. 24 of them were taken to a local hospital, including one in critical condition.
Wow. So the potency of, you have to assume that that's like pepper spray times 100.
Yeah, it's got to be terrifying for people who don't really know what's going on away. In fact, there was a tweet alert from like Fox 29 News, and you know Kevin Reardon, lockdown here. He works at an Amazon in New Jersey. So
does he? All right.
So I texted him. I go, "Yo, dude, what's going on?" Because there was no real. I mean, obviously we know what happened now, but you know earlier on in the situation we didn't know.
A recently fired bear showed up.
Bear repellent spray is similar to a can of pepper spray, and it is intended to deter an aggressive or charging bear. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recommends bear repellent spray as both safer and more effective than a firearm. In fending off bear attacks, by the way. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you at this juncture. Take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Please stay with us. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year. So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Painter Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand. The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com. All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins, and Noel Gallagher on August 8th.
Or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
From the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region.
And 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
This is Casey Boy here. Kathy's here. Nick's here. Marissa's here. Preston and Steve will be out today. They were in D.C. accepting an award from the NAB. It was the Service to America Award. So they will be back tomorrow, but we do have to do like business as usual and all that sort of stuff. So this is your last chance to text in 39333. Text the word secret for a pair of Dave Matthews tickets for the Saturday night show. And because we're going to solicit for callers in just a couple of minutes here. But first things first. We got to do the lesson question. Nick, what's the lesson questions for today?
Who are the three people in the studio right now?
All right, 215-263-WMMR, 215-263-WMMR. First caller in, you're going to win a $100 Fandango gift card. All this week, Metro by T-Mobile is giving you the opportunity to win Casey's favorite things. That's me. Hurry to your nearest Metro store and take advantage of the best deal in wireless only at Metro by T-Mobile. See store for details and terms and conditions.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, this morning, the trash is brought to you by Dietz & Watson Real Philly Deli. Want to know Philly's best-kept hoagie secrets? Pick up Dietz & Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide, a map of the best delis in the city and the surrounding areas. Earn prizes like T-shirts, coolers, food, and even birds tickets just for eating real Philly hoagies.
What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Ronnie Ortiz Magro staying in the news, revealing that that huge shiner he's sporting was caused by girlfriend Jen Harley smashing him in the face with a phone. Harley has explained herself, admitting she completely misunderstood the concept of the iPhone. Al Roker getting the last laugh and is replacing Megyn Kelly in the 9 a.m. Today Show slot Kelly replaced him in last year. Mm. Roker says when he got the call, he literally pooped pants, but more accurately, continued pooping his pants.
Oh my God.
And finally, Kendall Jenner saying the greatest relationship advice she ever got came from Khloe Kardashian, who told her to never apologize for the men you love. Khloe says that's how she managed to land a mid-level NBA star who stroked out at a whorehouse or an NBA player who can't stop gangbanging tub girls.
Dude.
That's your Hollywood Trash.
Let's do the joint.
All right.
All right.
I mean, world travelers love it.
So, even if Bill Weston doesn't.
That's right. So we're still... Got to dig in there and find some.
Actually, got to jump in here real quick before we do that.
Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Got to get the sponsors in here. Music News is brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Create the backyard of your dreams at Sequoia Outback on Route 309 in Hatfield or online at DeckSupplies.com. Kathy, what do you got going on in Music News? Okay, she's got nothing. Let's continue with the junk drawer.
And things that that you might find interesting that have happened recently.
There's a lot of stuff. It's a crazy world we live in, Preston.
It is. Let's start with this one. This chocolate in its raw form, cocoa.
Yes.
Can be ingested as a drink, a pill, and powder form, and apparently it can even be snorted. And people are snorting cocoa.
Oh my
When
God.
They snort it, what do they get from that snorting?
They've been doing it at like daytime raves and dance parties.
So they get high?
Seriously?
That don't serve alcohol. No, you don't get high.
Get fat.
At one cocoa fuel party in Berlin.
This might be our way to eat, to have chocolate and not get fat.
Right.
Balinese cocoa is slipped into drinks, and in New York, some bars are stocking up on chocolate cocktails and cocoa pills. There's even a chocolate company that sells cocoa snorting devices for $75. Raw cocoa triggers a flood of feel-good endorphins, as well as magnesium, which is a muscle relaxant. It's also packed with flavors, which increase body circulation and improve cognitive function, according to a recent study reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition.
I did it today. Snort your cocoa now. I'm Klaus, and this is the Cocoa Hut.
There's no hangover. But there's no hangover.
If you want an extra rush, snort those mini marshmallows.
There's no hallucinogenic side effects or danger of sharing needle infection.
I don't care. The thought of snorting something up my nose is...
And
it just seems,
Kathy,
like it hurts.
Yes. What good could come from lining your nasal passages with powdered chocolate?
With cocoa.
Chocolatey boogers.
Chocolatey boogers. Now.
You can eat later on.
Later on.
Yeah.
They're like little almond joys. What's this inside?
You just jump side so quick.
A little snot. So good.
On a dare one time, I snorted chili powder. Terribly. It may have been the worst experience of my life. It was just awful. I was 21 or 22, and
God.
3 in the morning, and it seemed like a pretty good idea.
Well,
the
Bob Seger album was scratched.
Yeah. same general location, and this will be funny.
I told you guys, me and my buddy Ben used to shoot Banaca up our nose.
Yeah.
You know what Banaca is?
Oh, yes. It's a breath freshener.
It's what
Jim Carrey sprays in his mouth or attempts to that's his running joke.
In Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
Kathy, did you used to do the Afrin, whatever that nasal spray
is? Yeah, remember? I was addicted to it.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
We're watching a scene from Jackass where Steve-O snorts wasabi. I can't even imagine that. Just smelling wasabi raw, unmixed with any soy, is enough to clear up my sinuses.
Yeah. It blows out your nasal passages.
Yeah. It's. I don't know how he did that stunt. We're watching it right
there
now.
There can be no good if... No. There's nothing good about it. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So people are snorting cocoa, and you don't really get a buzz off of it. They're just doing it because it's something to do, I guess. All right. Let me see what else I've got here. The little blue pill that has restored the sex lives of millions of men could be transformed into a faster-acting skin patch.
Imagine that. A boner patch.
Yeah, Viagra. Needs to start working from, it could cut the time that it starts working from up to an hour to a matter of minutes.
These are the days of wearing your boner on your sleeve.
And increase its effectiveness for longer than its current 10 hours.
You're in your 40s and early 50s. You don't have time to pop a pill. Wouldn't it be great to have the boner sitting right there on your bicep? Ready to go.
Instead of waiting for an hour or so, it could be just a few minutes and bang, you got it. The patch.
What if you have the patch on and you take a Viagra, you forget and take a Viagra pill on top of it?
Well, it's dangerous to take too much of that stuff.
Look what happened to Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
He OD'd on Viagra.
Bad for your heart, and you could get priapism, is that what it's called? Yeah, the constant induction.
This is the age of getting a 4-hour erection.
Yeah. But it could last longer than 10.
Pulling a heavy load with your boner, which you've had for 4.5 hours. Driving railroad spikes with your dong.
They ought to tie him in with, like, you know, like Ram trucks.
Yeah.
And have a guy sitting on the back of the truck, and you just tie whatever he's hauling onto his penis, and then the truck
See this
pulls
cowboy?
Away.
Yeah. He just banged a Ram truck. Made it cry.
Let's see. So the patch, which will be available in a few years, may also reduce side effects of the pill. Such
you
as,
just effed her to death.
Such as
literally ripped her apart. Blood all over the floor. There ain't no explaining this to the cops. You're going to have to use your horse to leave town. Can't explain that.
Make
you, just, you literally effed her brains out. It's like a scene from Scanners.
Feel like a man now, don't you?
Feel like a man. Go snort some cocoa.
But they may reduce side effects of the pill, such as indigestion, headaches, migraines, disturbed vision, and muscle pain. But it's expected to cost about $28 when the pill is a mere, like, regularly a dollar or something like that.
I just let a great white bite my dong and all its teeth broke. Now that's a boner.
Thank you, Viagra Patch.
Yeah. Thank you, Viagra Patch.
But they've developed a way to shrink the drug used to make Viagra into nanoparticles small enough to pass through the skin.
Hey, nanoparticles is here.
And enter the bloodstream. Is that a new rapper? Is he friends of Party Next Door?
Party Next Door. Nanoparticles from the future.
Similar drugs such as Cialis trigger erections more rapidly, but still carry the risk of side effects.
I'm on low-dose Cialis. You take it after you have a prostatectomy?
Yeah.
And I was recommended I stay on it. It's keeps the blood circulation more thorough.
Yep, that's what it's supposed to do.
It's a blood thinner.
The only other option is to inject drugs straight into the penis or use a pump to manually increase the blood supply.
I got a pump, too, just in case I want to play volleyball.
Those aren't as popular as taking the drugs, so they might be making a passion. I don't know when that's going to happen. But
it's great for camping.
Possible very soon. All right, let me go back into the journal. European dignitaries gathered yesterday to inaugurate the world's longest railway tunnel. It took them 17 years to make it.
Wow.
It goes under the Swiss Alps. The Gothard Railway Tunnel is 35.4 miles long.
It's amazing.
And it is also the world's deepest tunnel. At one point, it's 1.4 miles underground. The tunnel, which
How
runs
far underground?
1.4 miles.
That is an astonishing depth. Yeah. I assume that if you're even remotely claustrophobic, you would have an issue with that.
Yeah.
It's like people who freak out when they go into the tunnel.
The tunnel, which runs between the town of Erstfeld in Switzerland and Bodio in Italy, will open for commercial service in December.
It's amazing when they make tunnels like this, the huge drills, and the fact that they have to make a parallel tunnel to shunt off the debris from the first tunnel.
What in the hell are we looking
at? Man, those
at?
Europeans know how to celebrate a tunnel opening.
They've got acrobats.
It's Cirque du Soleil for tunnels.
Now, everybody, the tunnel dancers.
Wait, so it's...
What is this?
It's open, and they have this huge pomp and circumstance, but it's not open until December.
Yeah, yeah. It's officially, they can start running it, but they won't be doing it commercially until December.
Just for now, we use it for the dancers.
Get them back and forth.
35 miles of dancers.
35 miles of dancers in their underwears.
Wait, but seriously, though, what are we watching? Is this actually in the tunnel?
Yes. These are Swiss Teamsters.
Yeah, okay. Kathy, it's an opening ceremony.
Okay.
It's now open, but not really.
They should have, like, a race through it. You know, some, like, a, well, I
like
mean...
two trains racing on one track?
Well, no.
Yeah.
You already know the winner.
There's train tracks.
Yeah, I'm not when it's running.
Running.
what do you
Thanks,
recommend?
Forrest. Like, you know, a marathon, it's a little bit further than a marathon.
Oh, a foot race.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant cars.
No.
They're going to be bumping on the, on the ties the whole time.
And now we'll reattach your teeth.
Yeah. It will be able to handle up to 260 freight trains and 65 passenger trains per day.
They just showed footage of a priest blessing the tunnel.
Yeah.
With it looked like a dead chicken. What's that he's holding in his hand there?
I think it's like parsley.
Okay.
The, you know... Parsley that looks like a dead chicken.
And now the ceremonial waving of the kale.
Yeah. The tunnel was built with the goal of cutting travel time, lessening road traffic, and reducing air pollution.
Wait a second. They're running Conestoga wagons through it, Preston.
From the trucks that have that travel between north and the south of Europe. So,
and they started this 2 decades ago.
Well, yeah.
17 years,
I would imagine that the tracks they installed are now sort of antiquated, yeah, right? In light of new, like, maglev technology?
Well, I don't think they're putting maglev trains through there. I think they're doing the regular... You know, rail trains.
I don't. I don't mean this to sound pretentious or privileged, but traveling by rail through Europe is awesome.
Privilege. Thank you. It is one of the more economical ways to travel.
Yeah, but why is it not privileged?
Why is it so expensive here?
Economical.
Average.
If you wanted to take a train from Philadelphia to L.A., it's going to cost you $1,000.
Yeah, it's because it's not subsidized. So I think you can get subsidized
travel. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Traveling is just...
let the taxpayers pay for it.
By rail is just as expensive as flying. Is that what you're saying?
More expensive.
And it takes longer.
Yeah,
and it does.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's, and they derail.
It's $1,000 for like a one-way ticket.
From Listen, what happens is that people... It's bull crap. Unless you take the line where everyone in their underwear travels.
I took... we took a train to Boston 1 year as opposed to driving. Because we thought flying, we'd save. We thought we'd save money. We did not save money. We should have flown.
Yeah,
we absolutely should have flown. And we actually had to stop and pick up other people in that from their train.
They were train hiking
that broke down.
Oh.
So we had to pick up other passengers. Their train broke down in the middle of the tracks, and we had to stop and load everybody onto us.
So were you like two to a seat?
Nah, there was enough room, thankfully. But
my limit is 4 hours. If I can't drive there in 4 hours, I want to fly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about right.
But
that's why she only flies to the Caribbean.
Taking the train was it was better than driving in the fact that you just sit back and read and relaxed
right.
or napped or did whatever you wanted
train
to.
Train to D.C. is
but
a great way
Dennis
to
Dennis is probably always driving anyway, so it's the same thing.
You know what? I drive a lot because I'm a much better driver.
Oh, okay.
Do you go into the, did you go into the sleeper car?
I'll drive, Dennis. I'm driving!
Did you go?
No, didn't go into the sleeper car. Okay. It wasn't that long of a
trip. I have there is a 3D movie. It's a collection of all these old newsreels, and it shows a lot of the trains in Pennsylvania in the early 50s, late 40s.
Yeah.
And there were a number of very luxurious train cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
That were, it was a really
privileged
method of travel.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve, we've talked a few times about, what is it, the Royal Scotsman and like traveling around the British Isles that way.
I priced that out.
It's
okay?
Really
so
pricey.
For two people, for a week, $28,000.
Yeah.
What?
But
it's the
most... the
height of luxury.
Yeah. Privilege.
So what?
I know, but well, it's, you're paying for the experience. You know, you could get around by car, but you're paying for this.
For a Groupon.
It's a first-class way to go. I think, honestly, one of the biggest problems in our area currently is that there's no train along the 422 corridor. There used to be the Reading Railroad, and now 422 sucks in large part because you can only drive it.
Do you know what happens?
There's no train lines that way at all. No passenger train lines.
They're putting in this train system, and people, for the most part, as articulated in the movie Singles, they want their cars.
They do, but like if I'm in Phoenixville and I want to get into the city and I don't want to drive, I have to drive to either Conchie or Norristown or the R5 and do it that way. And I really like traveling by rail. I think
I agree. There are nice aspects to it. The majority of people, though, they just don't end up using it. Even the Amtrak and the Acela, the amount of people that could use it as opposed to the amount of people that use it mm-hmm. is way out of whack.
All right, so
and it's not privileged.
They have a big tunnel in the Swiss Alps.
I would like to go through that tunnel just to experience what it would be like to make love to Khloe Kardashian.
Ah, all right. Well, let's find other things at the tunnel. If you're thinking about forking over some money for an expensive fitness tracker thing that will motivate you to exercise more, you might want to think again. Oklahoma State University researchers recruited a group of 36 physical education teachers in training. Gave each of them a wearable device like a Fitbit.
Which is, I think, the dominant fitness tracker right now on the market, right? I see most people with Fitbits.
Half of the participants were told the wearable would measure the amount of sunlight they received each day, and the other half were told that the wearable would measure the number of steps that they took. In reality, the devices measure the activity levels of all participants, and the results show the aspiring fitness teachers didn't move much more than the average citizens.
Okay, even, so it didn't inspire them to get more active.
Yeah, even when they knew their steps were being counted.
Did it inspire any of them to visit the sun?
No. I think they're kind of stupid.
Personally. I don't know, though. I know a ton of people who have lost a lot of weight using them. It's just people who...
if you're just eating Fitbits, I could see
you're losing
weight.
If you're not very... You're just not an active person, and it is now showing you...
how inactive you are.
Yes. And so now they're out, and they're actually trying to get those steps in. Yeah, so I know somebody who solely on the Fitbit lost about 50 pounds just because he went out and was active and kind of it pointed out to him how inactive he was.
I think anything like that, or just even a program, if he just had a program that was not the Fitbit and one that allowed him to log in or whatever.
Well, now they have apps on the phone.
Right,
so,
right.
I don't know. I don't have a Fitbit, so I'm not quite sure exactly how it works. But on the app, you can... It seems to be the same thing.
No, and Claire, my wife, who weighs 14 pounds as it is, wears a Fitbit
What exactly is she trying to accomplish?
To make everyone feel inadequate.
Yeah.
But I have the Apple Watch, which really its health tracker benefits are non-existent.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they need to get more comprehensive with these things. But people swear by the Fitbits. When it has its own GPS, I like when it can log, you know, instead of steps, miles, and all of that, and. For example, you know, I stand for about 5.5 hours when we're doing the show, mm-hmm. and my Apple Watch will tell me time to stand. And I'm like, dude, I've been standing for hours.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? So I know two other people who had a competition with their Fitbit, and it was who could get the most steps in and all of that. They were kind of on.
Okay.
But the guy was cheating somehow, and they couldn't figure it out.
What, he hanging on a clock?
I don't.
You know, the second hand of a clock.
She doesn't know, but she said there was. They worked for the same company, and she knew. You know, they worked together, so she knew pretty much what he was doing on a daily basis, at least while they were at work, and they could view each other's progress.
Yeah.
And she would view it and be like, how did you just get 1,000 steps in? There's no way you've been sitting in the cubicle next to me.
Put it on a pendulum. Or Marissa says maybe he was spanking it.
Hey, and his arm might have been.
Where you just stand there and swing your arms.
Yeah.
Flop, flop, flop. Fox 29 did a piece on the Fitbits and how they're being used by thieves. And also this information. If someone is able to hack your Fitbit, they can kind of know your lifestyle. They can tell, for example, if you're out running by what information.
Your activity.
Right. And in fact, they're saying that it is now being considered and used in potential divorce cases and cheating cases.
Jesus.
Wow. And the same way your Easy Pass information would be used for a car, consider the Fitbit an Easy Pass monitor for your life.
That's a reach, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know, if lawyers have a way to access that information and implement it in court proceedings, they're going to do it.
Wow. Okay. You know what I also did read, too? They're pulling up on our monitors here a story about that they're fairly inaccurate in their account. I mean, any detector like that is going to have a plus or minus.
Yeah.
Accuracy level.
A degree of 70% inaccuracy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the overall point is if you use it as a method to lose some weight or get a little more exercise, it's not such a bad thing. And you guys have raved about the Lose It app many times. And
it works.
I'm sure that it works. But it was also part of the mentality that was behind you using the Lose It app, right? So you're paying attention to the Lose It app because you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, which feeds into itself.
I bought this. It's sort of a sleeve that goes over my knee that's imbued with the healing power of potassium or whatever the hell it is.
Copper?
Yes, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is. And if it just makes me think it feels better, then it's kind of working.
Yeah.
I've just always felt that if you're not sweating, you're not really getting a workout. And when I hear steps of somebody just going about their regular day, not out and, you know, trekking miles for exercise, but just, I had, you know, 5,000 steps a day just walking around going, I'm like, well, you didn't really exercise, man, did you? You just walked around. So,
but it's better than sitting on your ass.
It is. It is. Absolutely. Okay. Let's see. Back into the junk drawer. A breakthrough on schizophrenia could possibly lead to new treatments and possibly even a cure. This is pretty wild. Now, you got to take these studies with a grain of salt because a lot of times...
Because the guy conducting it was schizophrenic.
No, because it can take a long...
I have no usable information. I did it! This is a milestone. I'm a failure.
It can take a long time before they get the proper information. But scientists from United Kingdom and China have used MRIs to prove that brains can repair themselves, even in cases of schizophrenia that were long thought to be instances of irreversible brain damage.
Oh, that's amazing.
According to the Lawson Health Research Institute.
I worked with a woman years ago whose husband was diagnosed, and I, from what I understand, it's often incorrectly diagnosed as schizophrenia, but he had massive mood swings, and she was a loving wife and tried to stay with him, but it was just unbelievably daunting for her.
Was he mentally bipolar?
They said it was not.
Okay.
They said he was schizophrenic, where he, and all these phrases are thrown around like multiple personalities. And apparently the occurrence of multiple personalities is staggering. Some people believe it doesn't even exist.
Right.
And other people say it's staggeringly infrequent that it does occur.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, certainly, I mean, we all have medical degrees on the show, thanks.
No, but there's still mental illness. And yeah. It's if you're, coping with someone who has that, it's got to be very, very difficult. No, your uncle was schizophrenic, Nick.
Yeah.
Scientists observed that 98 patients with schizophrenia and compared them with 83 that didn't have the disease, and then they used MRI to compare the brain tissue. Modern treatments seek to reduce rather than reverse the loss of brain tissue, but this study shows that it's possible for a schizophrenic brain to actually try to reorganize itself.
To reroute itself.
Even with severe tissue damage.
Mm-hmm. This has happened before, yeah.
It's a huge discovery that could lead to targeted treatments to attack the core causes of schizophrenia and provides hope to sufferers. The findings were published in the Psychology of Medicine. The chief of the study said brain plasticity and the development of related therapies would contribute to a new optimism in an illness that was 100 years ago described as premature dementia for its seemingly progressive deterioration. Hmm. So they may find a way to have your brain repair itself.
It'd be amazing.
From that.
It's
been
a long time coming.
Incredible if they made a breakthrough in that.
It's one of those, it's not a tangible, visible thing. It's not like, okay, your arm's in a cast. It's one of those elusive things that's in a way is worse because there's no obvious...
Yeah, like angioplasty.
Right.
Stick something in a vein and expand it and get rid of the plaque in there. Yeah, with a brain, you're dealing with these nerves that you're not quite sure what they're doing. And
it's so wild, and as a parent, throughout a child's stage, life stage, you go through... I personally experience these various fears, when they're an infant, you're afraid that, okay, let's get through and make sure SIDS doesn't happen. All of a sudden, the baby dies out of nowhere. And then, you worry about, obviously, all the physical things, but then you keep an eye out for things like autism. And then maybe there's a certain age where you eventually get past and you don't have to worry about schizophrenia anymore.
Right,
and things like
right.
that. But there are things that can develop along the way that you keep an eye out for. So hearing that they're making breakthroughs is, that's just huge.
The goal is to get to the point where they're old enough to call the cops on you.
That's apparently five to the kid that we played the audio from earlier. All right, I have time for one more?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. Apparently, the researchers have found the world's ugliest color.
The world's ugliest color.
Yes.
Okay. Is it like brownish?
It's called Pantone 448C.
Pantone has the color scale, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. And it is also called opaque couche. Or COU, opaque couche.
It replaces opaque couche.
It's got to be like a brown.
This color stinks.
What would you guess?
I would say like it's a brown meets a green.
A brown. Mm-hmm. Casey, it's a dark green brown.
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
Why is that necessarily an ugly color?
It looks like diarrhea.
Nah. Well,
there you go.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's a diarrhea. Diarrhea brown.
Diarrhea brown.
But here's how they came
upon it. The baddest man in the whole damn town.
Here's how they came upon it. Back in 2012, the Australian government hired a research agency to spearhead the new package design for all tobacco products. But there was one catch. They wanted every carton to look as unappealing as possible. So over
you don't want them all to look like diarrhea.
So over three So over 3 months, 7 studies and talking to more than 1,000 regular smokers, researchers determined this particular color to be the most offensive.
Excuse me, mate. Would you smoke diarrhea? Thanks for taking my survey.
Yeah, in Australia, yeah, sure they'd smoke diarrhea. Diarrhea. Dark brown came in a close second. But ultimately, the
What about Black China?
But the association that it had with chocolate proved too appetizing.
So it makes, it's an ugly color, but you snort it.
Yeah. Thanks to this finding, governments in Ireland, the United Kingdom, and France recently passed plain packaging laws of their own with mock-ups featuring the exact same drab shade.
I think these are very subjective, obviously. They issued that finding a while ago that, again, the Pantone scale of orange creates agitation in people, that it's the most likely to get people upset or anxious.
What is Pantone again?
Pantone, I guess, has created the color scale.
The official names and scales.
So it's
colors.
The reference, okay. The way the periodic table.
So there's a certain orange shade that makes people angry?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's,
I could see that.
Yeah. Or anxious.
Anxious. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, a lot of orange is you associate it with caution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Road cones and ice cream cones.
Ice cream cones. No, but it's a highly reflective color that's used to warn people, you know, a lot of times. So I could see that making you feel anxious, possibly.
Huh. Do you guys think the old Flyers uniforms, like from the 70s, were orange? Because I look at them now and I think they were red.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they were orange.
They've always been the orange and the black, but it throws me off, like, because Rick McLeish passed the other day and they were showing some footage of him in his heyday. And I don't know if it's the film footage or whatever, but they don't look orange to me. They look red.
I don't know. I'm terrible with colors.
Are you?
I'm just horrible.
You're not
with
Nick
them.
Murphy bad, though. I mean,
he's colorblind.
He's colorblind, yeah.
Yeah, I think probably a lot of that has to do with the camera technology at the time.
All right.
I mean, because if you recall, like, you would watch Phillies games or Eagles games on TV, and then when you got to the Vet, it looked vastly different. I don't know if you have that same recollection, but I just always remember walking up and then looking down at the field and going, oh, wow, that's really green.
All these look, now they have a picture that shows a collection of Flyers jerseys, and they all look orange to me. Some look redder.
Okay.
A redder orange or a burnt orange.
I was, you know, like with colors, my daughter, I'll be, you know, it's the purple one. She's like, that's not purple, that's magenta. I'm like, well, it's a purple thing, you know. Isn't there like 5 different kinds of purples?
Go to bed, it's 9:15. Yeah. Now it's 9:13,
Dad.
But colors are very important to an 8 and 9 year old.
Yeah, oh, they are. Yeah, what's your favorite color and so forth?
They shift.
Oh, and they rank them, too, as well. Okay, well, my first favorite color is green, and then so on and so forth.
Everything's ranked.
Yep.
You're a kid, so you rank this stuff, but I'm an adult and I don't care.
Yeah. All right, you know, I lied. I'm going to do one more thing.
All right. Oh,
rebel.
Well, I'm not you had ready such for a you. Good experience Sorry. With this topic.
Time, the company, is hiring a bacon critic.
Time?
What?
Yes.
All right.
For its new breakfast site. Time Incorporated, the publisher behind brands like Time, Fortune, and Sports Illustrated, unveiled a new breakfast and brunch-focused online publication yesterday. It's called Extra Crispy.
Extra Crispy.
I like
it's
that.
The absolute opposite of Goop.
Yeah.
There's Goop, which is a fluid diarrhea-like mess. And then you have Extra Crispy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Completely.
Other end.
Yeah.
Dripping crap.
Yeah.
Goop. And crispy bacon.
Matt Bean, who is the SVP.
This is my sister, Flicta.
Who is the senior vice president, I guess, SVP, of editorial innovation at Time Incorporated, said in a press release, Extra Crispy allows us to experiment with inherently shareable content from coffee obsessions to cronuts, and the viral food phenomenon of today will have our plates full.
And adds another failure to our internet footprint.
As a result, they are looking for a bacon critic to write for the new publication.
Honestly, why?
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't so a whole lot of variation.
Somebody just
bacon.
Wants to have the conversation in 6 months. It's not turning out as we planned. Thank you for your time, and good luck with everything else.
There's different kinds of bacons.
I know there are, but it's very limited. There is a finite
I'll tell you what, the application, like with Gottschall's, the turkey bacon, which is delicious.
It is delicious.
The applications for that, the amount of ways to incorporate it into different food dishes.
I can understand that.
That I can see doing, but you're just a food critic for specifically bacon itself. I think that is sort of limited.
I don't know. Where was I not that long ago that they had all different kinds of bacon? Marissa, was it that place, that panini joint at Reading Terminal Market? I think they had all different kinds of bacon there.
Oh, that was really good.
She doesn't take note to bacon.
That's true. I'm asking the vegetarian.
You know what? I was at an ice cream stand in Wildwood over the weekend, and they had like bacon ice cream, chocolate covered bacon.
Yeah, I'm not down with that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not down with doing the goofy things with bacon. But I am interested in different flavors of bacon.
Was it Meltcraft, the cheese place that made the grilled cheeses?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
How do you have different flavors of bacon?
Well, there's ones that are like pepper, you know, they're cured with peppers, or there's, you know, sage, or you can have, and then obviously there's, you know, not pork bacon, but there's turkey bacon,
maple bacon.
Yeah, maple, there's all kinds of, you can flavor
macadamia
them.
Macadamia.
Yeah.
Pine bacon.
Yep. Anyhow, they're looking for a bacon specialist, a bacon critic, if you will. So if you're qualified, you might want to
bacon
put in your. Oh, you know what? Hold on a second.
Okay,
something else.
The bacon made me think of something. Bacon and the beer can. Bacon. You remember the old?
Oh yeah.
Is he saying bacon or beer can?
Yes.
Bacon.
Bacon.
Bacon. Bacon. There's another one that's going around.
Okay.
Nick, there was a text about it earlier.
Bacon.
About saying something that sounds like it's something you say.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Is he saying beer can or bacon?
Bacon.
No, it's if you say this phrase in regular American accent,
it
sounds like something with an Australian accent, but completely different. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
What is it?
I can't remember.
Is it bacon?
Frisbee.
No, it sounds like
Frisbee.
It sounds like you're saying razor blades.
Razor blade.
Yeah.
Wait, why were we talking about Australia
Riza,
a couple of minutes ago? I forget.
Because of who is it?
Because if you say this phrase with a standard American accent, it sounds
like... It's diarrhea.
You're actually...
It's what you're talking about on the Pantone scale.
Here you go. If you say raise up lights, you sound like you're saying razor blades in an Australian accent. Raise up lights.
Raise up lights.
Rise up lights.
Raise up lights.
Raise up lights.
Okay.
Raise up lights. Raise up lights.
Raise up lights.
Yeah, it does.
But if you say it fast, raise up lights.
No.
Raise up lights.
Oh, it does. It totally does.
Rise of blades.
Rise of blades.
No, don't say it like that.
No, I was saying razor blades within.
I know.
Say the accent. Say razor blades.
Say raise up lights.
And that sound. Yeah. You don't even have to affect an accent.
No. I know, but now I'm going to affect an accent and say rise of blades.
What if you say.
That is me saying in Australian, rise of blades.
Rise up lights.
Rise up lights. You got them rise up lights.
Rise up lights.
You got. You have to put the emphasis less on up, rise up lights. You got to kind of throw away the up, rise up lights.
It sounds so good when you do it.
Rise up lights.
Rise up lights. Dingo analingus.
No. What? You did it wrong.
Wait, what were you trying to say?
Pass the doilies.
Oh, okay.
Pass the doilies is...
Dingo analingus.
Dingo analingus. All right. So anyhow, people, I had actually gotten a few texts saying that recently.
I like that. I like those little
rise up lights.
These kind of internet memes I like. Like the dress that looks like
different colors.
Different people or
the cigar one.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Did you finally see the cigar?
Yeah, somebody had pointed out to me. And so I'm like, oh, that's blatantly obvious. And I didn't see that at all.
I'm pretty good with those. And we've talked about it many times before, though, the particular artwork where... The stereoscopic, whatever it is, where it's if you sort of slightly cross your eyes, you'll see an image in the pattern.
I turn into Kathy when things like that come up. If I look at it for about 30 seconds, I go, this is stupid. I'm not saying
that, it all.
This is dumb.
Yep. I don't blame you.
I totally take on the Kathy persona.
I don't believe you.
This is dumb. I don't believe you. This is stupid.
It's a boy on a pier.
Rise up lights.
It's a schooner.
Mm. All right, anyhow, thank you for letting me clear out the junk drawer this morning. I did have a few things I needed to get out of there.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3
WMMR, everything that rocks.
It is the Preston and Steve Show. Preston is not here. Steve is not here. Actually, Steve is here for just a second. I think.
He was here already?
Yeah, he. They were in D.C. Congratulations to Preston and Steve, the whole Preston and Steve Show, the whole WMMR and Beasley family. They were awarded the NAB Service to America Award last night in Washington, D.C. Preston and Steve accepted the award. And
a bunch of other people from the company.
Yeah, and so they stayed and celebrated in D.C. last night, and I think Steve got on an early train. Today's his birthday, right?
Happy
birthday, Steve.
Well, so wait, where is he gone?
I don't know.
I think he had to record something down the hall. So I saw him in the hallway, and there's something that we will reveal on air tomorrow. This is a tease in the radio biz, but we didn't want him to see that. So he may have been avoiding the studio.
There is a giant birthday present for Steve in the studio.
It's exciting.
It is very, very exciting. But
we wanted him to be able to see it, so we don't want to talk about it today, and we certainly don't want to reveal it. So it'll be on air tomorrow morning. And I hope Steve's going to love it as much as we think he's going
to
love it.
In addition to Steve's birthday, it's also Preston and Michelle's 20th wedding anniversary today. So happy anniversary, you two crazy kids. It is, you know, business as usual today. And we had a secret text word, which is a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews on Saturday at the BB&T Pavilion. Kathy, we're going to take a number caller right now. We're not going to take the winner on the air, but what number caller?
Five.
Caller number 515-263-WMMR. You're going to win tickets to the Saturday night Dave Matthews concert. And then we'll just pick a texter at random, and you will also win tickets. By the way, tickets for Friday and Saturday shows still remain at Ticketmaster.com. So if you want to go check those out, let me look at the weather. Partly cloudy, mostly cloudy. That is awesome. Temperatures are 75 and 83 degrees.
And these are their first shows in a month. They've been off since the middle of May, and so they'll be fresh. They'll be ready to rock. And like I said earlier, the 40th and 41st shows in Camden. So that'll be a momentous occasion for the Dave Matthews Band. A good reason to go.
Hey, guys. Guess who's here? It's Pierre Robert.
Hey! I was looking around going, wow, who's here?
It's you, man.
You smell
me.
Fresh.
You
do.
Thank you. It's my Moroccan oil.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I smell it. Yeah. Right, very nice.
All the way over
nice.
There. I don't wear perfume. I don't believe a man should wear cologne. But
I knew I loved you for a reason.
Yeah. People think I'm wearing it when I put this Moroccan oil stuff in my hair.
No, I can smell the difference. So you kind of like you breezed by me, so I think I got it as you walked past.
What does the oil do? Because my hair is long and flowing now as well, so I'm interested here.
It gives you a little poof.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't need any poof to my hair.
It's
a little
great.
Ridiculous.
You have done a phenomenal job anchoring
today.
Thanks. You really have.
I'm not used to this.
But you have. But all three of you and Marissa have done a great job, working around Preston and Steve. And
Pierre, if you get a chance, you should watch the video that Nick Murphy put together. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
It's really well done.
About it.
Yeah,
it's
cool to see how much the Camp Out for Hunger has grown over 20 years because it did start at another radio station in another time in another era, and the way that it's been able to grow since the President Steve Show came to WMMR is nothing short of miraculous. It's just really impressive how much bigger and better it's gotten every year, and this video highlights that.
Well, and just to sort of put it into perspective, the only footage that we have of the first Camp Out for Hunger is literally on Polaroid camera pictures.
Yeah.
I have them at my house. So, and I was talking about it down the hall about how this thing has grown and how it doesn't happen without countless amounts of people. And how long have you been at this radio station?
38 years.
And when's the anniversary?
November. 39.
So we'll be 39 in November. Yeah. And so for the last 14 years, you've been a part of the Camp Out for Hunger. I mean, this is a massive effort that, you know, starts with Preston and Steve and, you know, obviously the show and then our promotions department, sales department, engineers, and then, you know, the entire air staff is behind it as well. So congratulations to you, Pierre.
Oh, God. no, I mean, these guys, well, all of you, though, deserve it. You're a total team. They are the leaders of the team, and I just couldn't be more thrilled for them. I just had a thought while you were mentioning all that. What do you think it would have been like if Preston and Steve had stayed at Y100, all of you had stayed at Y100, if Y100 hadn't gone under?
Well, we'd be playing rap music, I'm sure.
I don't think we would have gotten the support that Greater Media gave us and then Beasley gave us. And that's not a slight to Radio 1, but it's a slight to Radio 1. I mean, what Greater Media allowed us to do, and I worked at both, and now so have Casey and Kathy, but what Greater Media allowed us to do and then Beasley allowed us to do, and last night highlights that. Beasley made sure that this award was given to President Steve. They submitted the nomination because it's important, and, yeah. and I think recognition is important. Caroline Beasley, who's our CEO, she was there last night, and that's not an accident. I don't know if that support would have ever come from a company like the Y100 was.
The reason it grew to how big it is was partly because MMR's support.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that Y100 didn't have is Rodney Bird. And Rodney Bird, he was another one. Like, you just sort of throw an idea at him, and he goes, okay, well, we can do that, and then some.
And he was instrumental in growing it. When we were growing it, and, you know, we needed a larger tent because more people were coming out, it would allow even more people to come. Rodney got that done. So it was, like, kind of a collective effort in helping it grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the entity of the campout hit the machinery of MMR.
Right.
And then was able to, you know, grow multitudes from that. And I've often thought of the two families, the family of listeners that came from Y100 merging with the family of listeners that were already here that bonded with you guys, you know, and made the whole thing possible, you know, and all the great corporate sponsors. But I still come down in that thing to the individual human beings who bring food.
Well, it also started by donating food to the Philadelphia Food Bank. And at that time, they didn't accept money. It was just food donations only. And then the food bank and Philabundance ended up joining forces. And it became solely Philabundance. I think that Philabundance absorbed the Philadelphia Food Bank, if I'm speaking correctly. And then we were able to, in addition to the food that we were raising, we were able to actually raise money as well. And money goes a really, really long way with those efforts. So
cool. And the good vibes continue this weekend because the blood drive is on Saturday, and you'll be a part of that. Broadcasting live on Saturday at the blood drive at the Expo Center out in Oaks.
And by the way, if you do want to sign up, I did get word that sign-ups close on Friday.
Okay.
So there's a few spots that are still left. A lot of them are early morning spots, but you have to sign up. You can't just walk up, and that will close on Friday.
Because there are some prerequisites they need to go over with you, right?
Yes. The tattoos and travel and
but
past
it prompts
donations.
You. Yeah. When you sign up, it'll prompt you. And, you know,
where do you go online to sign up?
The best place is PresidentSteve.com. There's a link to our blood drive on PresidentSteve.com, on WMMR.com, where that video of the Camp Out for Hunger also exists. So several reasons to go to the website today, but you can go right through that, sign up online, and then hopefully join us on Saturday.
And this will be my first time broadcasting an entire program from there, which will be fun.
You start broadcasting what time? 10-ish?
About 2:30. they told me to get there about 2, and I'd be done by about 3.
Everybody's wrapping up. And the other cool thing about what's going on Saturday is there's a whole, just like the Camp Out for Hunger, there's a whole circus of thing that's going on around.
There's literally
a
circus.
Oh, my God. Literally, there's a circus that's going on.
The Big Apple Circus.
But, you know, some people have a hard time finding babysitters, so they got to bring their kids. We have Painted Treasures going to be there and, you know, cookies and all sorts of activities. Are we going to have the yoga people there by any chance, you know?
I think they always come.
Yeah. So, you know, come on by and hang out for a little bit.
It's fun.
We do have to move on. Okay. We got to get some spots in at time, but we also got to do this.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
E as in extraterrestrial.
All right. That is the third letter in a five-letter word. And on Friday, we'll give away an Omni Air-powered hockey table from Royal Billiard and Recreation. Royal Billiard and Recreation has everything that you need this Father's Day. Darts, air hockey, foosball, ski ball, and golden tee golf. Or you can go big on that hot tub that he's always wanted. I have a hot tub. Royal Billiards, it's an inflatable one, but still, they got better ones at Royal Billiard and Recreation. Your ultimate game room store, visit royalbilliards.com. What's coming up on your show today, Pierre?
Thank you. We have tickets for Dead & Company next Thursday, and we also have Hooters tickets. I announced the Hooters shows coming to the Keswick Theater in November, the first weekend. They'll go on sale Friday at noon. I've got tickets for the Hooters. Workforce blocks will include Offspring and David Bowie. An anniversary of a legendary Bowie song was yesterday. I'll get to it today. And a workforce block of Boston. Their legendary singer would be celebrating his birthday today, Brad Delp. So some cool music.
Awesome. Well, I will be listening, as I do every single day, Pierre.
Thank you.
Today, the Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking. We all use Winter Airport Parking. It's the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Also brought to you by Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you can bring a workout buddy with you every single visit. And brought to you by Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow morning on the Preston and Steve Show, Preston and Steve will be back, their triumphant return. We will also unveil something for Steve Morrison that is now sitting here in our studio. So make sure you're listening early to find out exactly what that is and to actually get the live reveal. And then we will also have Todd Glass in studio, and I just found out we're going to have Mindy Kaling on from the Mindy Project, and she's going to be on the phone a little bit later on. So,
new movie, late night
coming up, but she's going to give us a call around 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. That is all for today. Rage on. Have a great day.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
Just sitting here eating my breakfast, waiting on my boss.
Next message.
Steve, happy birthday, my friend. Thank you for so many belly laughs over the years. Thank you so much, man. Hope you have the greatest birthday. You deserve it.
Next message.
Play Gloria! Blues, baby!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.